much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Play this record as frequently as possible. Then, as it becomes easier for you, play the record once a day or as needed.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
It's ridiculous.
Hey, it's Beer Mug here.
He stays motivated when you guys make fun of him. 3 months to lose the weight, but he ain't losing none of it. People look at him and think he weighs a billion. Nope, bigger numbers, that dude weighs a gillion. Beer Mug's fat. Beer Mug's fat. Beer Mug's fat.
Oh, yeah.
You are funny. You are a funny, funny man.
And now.
How long does peyote last? Just asking for a friend.
Our feature presentation.
I've never tried peyote. You'd think I would have lived
in
the
Phoenix. I'm shocked to hear that news. Really?
Yeah, you'd think I would, right?
Yeah, you got to get on that sticks, huh?
Come on. I need to give me some peyote, and I need it now.
That's a great idea. I think that'd be a very entertaining show to have you with peyote. Let's ask Dr. Drew about peyote when we talk to him this week.
All right.
Does anybody have any drugs? I'm looking to score some drugs.
No, too much about that. So, it's Monday. I guess Lisa's out today. Very sad to hear that.
She's sick, yes.
She's the only reason I show up anymore, you know?
Yeah, well. And by show up, you mean get up.
Well, and do the show and work. Okay. Yeah, the opportunity to hang out with Lisa.
It's not Mugs? But,
it's really not Mugs. Nah. In fact, when I saw all over the news about the fight, the latest fight in the parking lot at Dodger Stadium, people went sent to the hospital, I thought, oh, please let it be Mugs. Please let it be Mugs.
Oh, how are you going to treat him like that? He's right here.
I've met him. That's how.
I mean, I was putting people in the hospital, okay?
Nice try. All right.
We didn't get a chance to talk about this last week, but I think it's a fantastic story. In fact, we may have to revisit. It's been not too long, but every once in a while we like to do the phone topic where you sent a text to the wrong person.
Always fun.
Or you got a text from somebody that was not intended from you. A couple of weeks ago on the HBO show Girls, a woman got a picture of her boyfriend's penis sent to her. And she didn't know how to feel about it. And then she really didn't know how to feel about it when the follow-up text said, oh, sorry, that wasn't for you.
Oh, from her boyfriend?
From her boyfriend, yes. And now here's a story of Candace, a 31-year-old New Yorker who met a nice lawyer at a bar. They went to see the Avengers together. And here's what the text exchange was like after their date. He texts her, I really had a good time with you. I want to get to know you better. I like you. She texts back, thanks for the movie tonight. Get some sleep for the big case tomorrow. He writes back, you're welcome, thank you, get some rest. And then about an hour later, he texts her again. Do you want us to get to know each other? I don't want to waste my time.
Doe. Does it say doe? D-I-E-U?
No, it says okay. Do. Do you want us to get to know each other? I don't want to waste my time. Which, by the way, that's kind of a dick way to phrase that question, right?
Well, yeah, it certainly is. You could.
I don't want to waste my time.
Right.
Wouldn't a much better thing to be, hey, still thinking about our date, love to see you again soon. You know, kind of, there's an easier way to say that.
You're going
to
put out or not, basically.
Exactly, yes. So she writes back, sorry, I don't think we really have a connection. Tonight was fun, though. Thanks. Which is reasonable. I mean, it's straight up. Maybe you don't want to get that information via text, but I felt like she's being honest with him, right?
Right.
No problem at all. I don't know how you can know that after a first date. I don't know if we're a match either, but I wanted to get to know you, but no problem. So I feel like that's probably the end of this, right?
Yeah, you'd think so.
Then he goes on half an hour later. By the way, I think it's your loss. I'm an amazing guy and would have done anything for you.
So am I going to see some jugs or am I wasting my time here?
Now, here's where the story gets interesting. So far, it's just...
Right. Honestly, who would text your loss?
Your loss. I'm an amazing guy. Yes, exactly. So here's where the story gets fantastic, because then he texts, apparently, thinking he is texting his friend. He is still texting the woman that he went out on the date with.
He's going to badmouth her?
Hey, buddy. Sorry I missed your calls. I'm just finishing up in court, rushing to my office for a 2:30 meeting. I saw the Avengers with her yesterday. She's okay. She's cute, but not hot. I have dated much hotter girls. She's a 5.5 out of 10. I wanted to get to know her more, though she sent me a text message saying she didn't think there was a connection. Can you believe it? I was even super nice to her. She's lucky that I went on a date with her at all. Average chicks are the ones that always act like they're God's gift. Anyway, I'm going out with Nancy tonight. About to jump on the subway. Talk to you later, bro.
Oh.
Okay. Then, and it's the final text, about 10 minutes later, I guess he looks at his phone. Maybe he's waiting to hear back from his friend or something, and he realizes what he's done.
You can't unsend that.
He realizes he has sent the message to Candace, the woman he went out with the night before. Hey, Candace, I'm very sorry. I just saw this. I meant to send this to a friend, but I mistakenly sent it to you. It's not about you at all. It's not about you. It's about someone else. I hope you're doing well.
That's not about you at all.
Yeah, it was about somebody else that he took out last night.
Oh, dear God.
Is that awesome?
Yeah, that's a nightmare.
So, yeah, so at least Candace has a story to tell all of her friends.
There really is nothing you can do at that point. But that guy's a jackass anyway, so I'm glad it happened to him.
Well, I don't want to generalize or anything, but he is a New York lawyer, so.
Well, there you go.
Draw your own conclusion. I'm sure there's probably one nice New York lawyer, but it's not this guy.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amico, shall we?
Oh, I don't know what you're saying. It all sounds so crazy to me.
Haven't begun yet. David Shore is the creator of House tonight.
Dude.
Tonight, the series finale.
How about that?
So he's going to...
You've been watching, by the way?
I've been recording and watching intermittently.
Yeah.
Trying to catch up.
Well, they got a lot of ground to cover on the finale, that's for sure. A lot going on between House and Wilson and House and jail and lots of other things. A lot of through lines to patch up tonight, but I guess it's a two-hour finale, so they got some time.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Talked about all the celebs and whatnot over the weekend. We have, from UFC 146, Frank Mir in the studio.
Wow.
How about that? That guy's a monster.
Yeah.
LaQuisha will be on the program talking about last night's Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
She's not going to be happy about their new assignment, right?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. Thanks for that tweet, Bean. We'll
how
be here soon.
How dare you?
We can't stress enough how bad this can be. With Bean's tweets. So we'll get to that just after the top of the hour. Beer Mug did some interviews about the House series finale with the cast.
Wow.
And he's not good. So.
Well, he also, in Beer Mug's defense, and I can't believe those words came out of my mouth, he's never seen the show House.
Yeah.
Maybe not the guy to send to interview the cast members.
Right, but had he seen every episode, still not the guy to interview the cast members.
That's true.
Matt Bunny Smith will be here to talk about sports over the weekend. Not a great Southern California weekend in sports. Paul Stojanovic, I believe that's his name. He's going to be on talking about the world's wildest police videos, which is a crazy show.
Crazy show.
And a brand new internet roundup today.
Wow.
So that's coming up. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat now.
All right. Coldplay! Standing O!
We let Standing O drop, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
That's a shame.
Sadly.
Morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday morning. All new Kevin and Bean Show here with Ralph Showbizbeat. What's going on, Ralph?
Oh, what a weekend. What a weekend, especially at the box office for the Avengers. They continue to dominate yet again. By the way, 3 weeks, just here in North America, around $450 million.
That's all right.
Just in North America, about half a bill.
If you're into that kind of thing, that kind of money making.
Movie totally overshadowed Battleship, which did not do so well in its opening weekend. Just a hair over $25 million.
You know, we were talking the other day about how North America is becoming a smaller and smaller portion of box office for movies like this. Before Battleship even opened here, it made over $200 million overseas.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
It is.
Crazy.
I saw it this weekend and it.
Battleship?
I think your expectations have a lot to do with it, and I expected total crap, and it was pretty good. But I think the I expected total crap may have helped in that arena.
Yeah.
But it was pretty good.
It wasn't.
It was.
Nah. I didn't see it, but it wasn't.
I didn't see it either,
but
it
wasn't. It wasn't pretty good.
It was pretty good.
It wasn't as bad as you expected, I'll accept.
That's
possible. But I will not accept it was pretty good.
It was pretty good.
No, it wasn't.
I still don't get the I went and I expected it to be total crap. That's the part that hangs me up
every
time.
Well, you know that's our boy Kevin.
I have low standards.
But if you expect it to be crap, then how are you even going
to
enjoy it?
He wants to see things blow up out of the ocean.
Here's the thing. Special effects movies can often be crap, but they're great to look at. because they got great special effects. But
so it's a hot chick with a terrible personality. Basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Worth going out with her just to look at her. I understand.
Exactly.
Stuff blowing up for Kevin is romantic comedies to Lisa. It just doesn't matter. It's just they are helpless against those genre of...
Are there explosions? I'm in.
Avengers, by the way, did $55 million in its third week at the box office.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty strong weekend for them. The Dictator was third. $17.4 million, then Dark Shadows and What to Expect When You're Expecting, blissfully only made $10 million in its debut weekend. So I guess people weren't suckered in. So my best expectations of people were actually fulfilled this weekend. Best Exotic Marigold Hotel was sixth at the bottom. Oh, come on,
that doesn't even exist.
They are charming older British people who go to this hotel in India. It's a charming story with a great cast. Yeah. Of brilliantly talented British actors.
That does not exist, though, is what I'm telling you, is there's no movie by that name.
Hunger Games, the seventh, Think Like a Man, the Lucky One, and Pirates, Band of Misfits, rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Good news, Terminator 3 star Nick Stahl, he is alive and well. His wife put out the panic alert when she said he was missing, and he was for 10 days, but he's got in touch with friends and family. And said he's fine, he didn't mean to worry anyone, and he's checking himself into rehab. So, that's the best possible news, if that's indeed what he's doing. His future ex-wife, by the way, Rose, says she hopes to visit him often once he gets settled in rehab and isn't even thinking about their impending divorce. She just cares about his well-being for the time being, and I think that's nice.
Gone for 10 days. Whew.
Yeah, he just up and disappeared.
That's crazy.
And he was hanging around down Skid Row, too, which was what made everybody nervous, because apparently he was looking to score drugs, and he was hanging out with a bad crowd, so they assumed the worst, but luckily he's alive. So
yeah, it's pretty rare that somebody's missing for 10 days and it turns out happy.
Yeah. This John Travolta story just keeps growing and growing and growing.
Now what?
Right now we're up to 7 different accusers in the John Travolta sexual assault claims. Yeah, it was 4.
They're all lying.
Yeah, and now it's like, at what point do you think there's so much smoke, there must be a little fire, right?
Yeah, yeah.
2 more men, one from Seattle, one from Miami, have accused Travolta of assaulting them in high-end hotels. There certainly seems to be a theme here.
Yes, it does.
This is in addition to the 5 other men, including 3 masseurs who claimed John groped them and asked them for sex. The new guys are a guy named Jeff from the Eden Rock Resort in Miami, and a former hotel employee at the Westin Hotel in Seattle who said John cornered him after a Qantas event in 2000. He was cleaning up a guest room, apparently. John came up behind him and grabbed his butt. When he turned around, Travolta was standing there with his pants unzipped and was exposed.
He sure does have a style, doesn't he?
Well, he's got a lot to give.
He's got his moves, man.
He's got a lot to give.
These moves have been working for him, apparently, for a very long time, because no one ever said anything about it before.
Yeah, well, the floodgates seem to have opened.
Yeah. Remember South Park? Can I play a clip from South Park?
Sure.
Dad! Tom Cruise won't come out of the closet!
Mr. Cruise? Mr. Cruise, come out of the closet!
I'm never coming out!
Mr. Cruise, you can't just stay in the closet, all right? You need to come out.
Just leave me alone!
Well, we can't leave you alone because you won't come out of the closet.
I thought that clip included John Travolta.
I was wondering why we were playing John Travolta Tom Cruise clip.
Joins Tom Cruise in the closet, and I thought that was the dual clip.
Right.
It was not. That had nothing to do with John Travolta.
Indeed, it did not, sir.
Oh, I would like to take that back now.
If I could. Do you have any other clips of Kenny dying?
Well, happy Monday, everybody. We are back.
In there.
And while we're talking about sexual assault in celebrities, remember actor Timothy Busfeld?
Yes.
He was on 30-something, very talented.
West Wing,
writer and director. Now he directs a lot of television. TMZ.com had a story today. And look, I don't know anything about this. This is just my interpretation of the story, of the facts that as TMZ.com presented them. But apparently he was on a date last Wednesday night. They were at a movie. He started kissing, and they were making out in the movie theater. He grabbed a few areas, apparently, that were out of bounds, according to this young lady. She left the theater in a huff, then filed a police report the next day for sexual battery. And now the cops are looking for Timothy Busfield to talk to him about this account. Listen, are we really at that point in a society now where if a guy gets a little too handsy on a date,
You're going to go to the cops and file a police report for sexual battery against him.
I had the exact same reaction when I read the story, Ralph, and I guess we don't know until there's some sort of definitive version of what the story is. I mean, if it turned into an attack where she was, you know, telling him to stop, and he wouldn't, and that's why she got up and ran, maybe that's one thing.
But it was at a movie theater.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I mean, how aggressive could he have gotten?
Yeah, I don't know.
Without
this is
people
a weird,
noticing.
This is a weird story.
And again, maybe I'm proven wrong, and I don't mean to jump to conclusions here, but if this is just a case of hurt feelings or someone who's upset with someone's behavior, I think it may be a poor use of our ability.
I agree, and this is why this is such a difficult subject, is because I think we all agree that no means no.
Absolutely.
But no is also a little bit of a game sometimes in a dating situation. And I think if you're being honest, you'll admit that.
But I also feel no means no. And if you say no and you walk away, then well done. You know, you've accomplished your goal.
Right, right.
And I think that she obviously did the right thing if she was uncomfortable and said no and walked and left the situation. And it seemed to me a case closed.
Hmm. Yeah, it doesn't sound like the police ought to be involved in most cases.
But
like
this, again,
that's for
unless
sure.
There's more to the story,
again,
that we don't know.
There may be more to the story, and I don't mean to talk out of turns. It's just my impression from the facts that I read. But I just think sometimes we get over litigious in this society. So that's how I feel. And congratulations to my buddy Kristen Wiig, who on Saturday night on the new Saturday Night Live show announced she was leaving the show after 7 seasons. They gave her quite the farewell. They sang Rolling Stones songs. Mick Jagger was there, and Arcade Fire was playing, and it was all very exciting. And she's moving on to bigger.
Did you see it, Ralph? It was very.
I did not see it, but I know Kristen apparently was very very choked up by the whole thing.
Each cast member came out and did a twirl dance with her. You know, one right after another, including Lorne Michaels too. And it was very very
a
emotional.
What dance with her?
A twirl.
Oh,
a
twirl.
The dance floor.
You know, just a quick, you know, once around and then move on, and then somebody else comes and does another dance with her. But it was really emotional. I mean, she's been, you know, one of their all-time greatest stars, and she's been there 7 years, and you could tell people were real sad to see her leave.
Moving on to the movie world, so congratulations to Kristen. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Al Franken, comedian-turned-politician, is 61 years old today. He was a longtime writer and featured performer on Saturday Night Live. He's 61. Mr. T., 60 years old today. Actor Judge Reinhold turns 50. Fairuza Balk, very beautiful and talented actress, is 38 years old. Gautier. Gautier celebrates his birthday today. He's 32. And Lisa Edelstein. We were talking about House in the finale that's on tonight on Fox. She, of course, played Cuddy for many seasons on that show. She turns 46 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Rise Against at the Honda Center on September the 29th, all week long here on KROQ, including on today's Kevin and Bean Show. We have tickets you can win, and you're in the running to present the show. Now, what does that mean? That means you bring the band on stage, you have your name on the ticket, you get a dressing room backstage, you meet the group. I mean, this is the way to go. We'll draw the grand prize winner on Friday morning. Go to KROQ.com for your details and a chance to win coming up on today's Kevin and Bean
Show. And then if Rise Against sucks, then you get the hell beaten out of you. So that you got that too.
I don't think that's very likely.
Part of it? Oh,
I think they'll be fine.
All right, it's time for
that tweet.
Bean, how dare you?
Sweet
Thanks
Jesus.
For that tweet, Bean.
Oh,
what? What now?
Oh dear God!
What's the problem?
Oh dear God in heaven!
What the?
Oh sweet Jesus!
Please explain.
You suck. That's my explanation. And your tweets are twice as bad as you are as a person.
Oh, that's not possible.
You
that
can
is.
Follow me on Twitter, and you should.
Don't!
At Clyde Tombaugh.
No!
And many people enjoy my tweets. I get a lot of good feedback from my Twitter.
That's that tweet.
Could I just suggest that we put in the rules up front that we do not need further clarification as we go through some of your tweets, Bean?
Well, I'd like to suggest that if they're in the thanks for that tweet file, maybe there's something about them that's been missed.
Or
R.I.P. Andy Morris and now Robin Gibb. When Barry wrote Stayin' Alive, he wasn't kidding.
Oh.
Thank
you from you, Beer Mug.
Oh, man.
Barry Gibb expressed himself
Stayin'
perfectly.
Alive.
Yeah, we got it. I mean, we understood it.
Yeah,
it's not that I'm going, huh, I wonder how that relates.
Yeah.
Got it.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean. I surprise myself every day with the amount of time I spend being sad that I wasn't also named Sanjay Gupta.
Come on.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean.
You don't.
It's an awesome name.
It's not. And
it's
stop.
An awesome name.
Stop.
Just stop it.
But would it be cool if I were also named Sanjay Gupta? That's all I'm saying. Stop. My parents dropped the ball.
You don't spend any time being sad that you're not named after the doctor on CNN.
I do. I think it's an awesome name.
When did we decide as a people that cold coffee is a thing we like instead of a thing we send back?
What are you talking about? We decide as a people. That doesn't even make sense.
Because now they sell iced coffee everywhere.
Yes, it's delicious and everyone loves it.
It's a thing. It's terrible. I've never had
so
it,
you
but
don't
I'm
like
telling
you. Who cares?
You've never had it! Because it's cold coffee. Because cold coffee is bad.
What kind of a
Who takes time to write that?
That's the point. It's the it's minutiae. It's nothing.
A few years ago, there was no such thing as cold coffee.
Right.
And the world was fine.
And
now
the
there is.
The world's fine now.
Right.
I don't like it.
What about tea used to be hot and then that got cold too? Is that a problem?
I don't care for it.
I don't like it.
This iced coffee has got to stop.
Tweet.
Twitter suggested I follow the L.A. County Museum of Art today. Don't they know I'm LACMA intolerant?
You can't give yourself a drum rim shot. And by
hashtag
the way,
can't stop, won't stop.
That is a bad joke that you've now told, what, 20 times?
Yeah, how many times are you going to go with that?
This was, well, twice on the air, and then this was the third.
Stop!
This was for Twitter.
That's that
tweet.
Bean!
This one's nuts.
As an aside, Alaska Airlines' soft rock hits of the 90s and today is greater than Virgin America's BS chill-out boarding music.
What's happening?
Are you kidding me?
That's that tweet.
Bean!
Kill yourself.
What? Don't you guys have a preference as to what kind of music they play when you're sitting on a plane waiting
no!
for it to take off?
I don't have an ounce of interest in anything you've tweeted about. Cold coffee? Don't care. Don't order it.
The load-on music on an airline.
Don't notice it.
Got a life. Moving forward. Things to do.
Right. People to talk to.
That's that
tweet.
Bean. I know a band called The Saturdays, also The Sundays, and one called Thursday. Any others that are just the name of the day of the week?
Oh, God.
That's that
tweet.
Bean.
Kill yourself. Please.
Is that the Asperger's list thing going on? You need to know?
Please. Just thinking about it one day.
Please take your own life.
No crowdsourcing question. People know everything.
Who would have guessed when young MC busted a move that it would be a career-ending injury?
Because after that
song,
we
didn't have anything else.
We
didn't have much of a career after
that. We understand it.
Think President Obama ever masturbates?
I couldn't have said it better myself, Kevin.
That's a legitimate question. With all the Secret Service around, the guy probably never gets a minute to himself.
Thanks for that
tweet.
Bean.
And lastly.
Oh, thank God.
I just got an email from Barnes & Noble. Felt like getting a phone call from Harry Truman.
What? Okay, that I really don't understand.
Now I really do need some qualifications.
That's the first one where we actually need qualification. Because you're the Armenian comedian now.
Of Twitter.
Because Barnes & Noble is a bookstore.
Right.
When was the last time you thought about a bookstore or got an email from a bookstore? It just seems so out of touch.
So you went with, what was it, Harry Truman?
Phone call from
I'm
Harry
saying it's
Truman?
Like getting a phone call from Harry Truman. It's just such a weird blast from the past. That's all. Struck me as odd.
But Barnes & Noble, they're huge. They're every mall you go. You walk past a Barnes & Noble. They're huge stores.
I can't remember the last time I saw one or set foot in
one. Well, you live on an island.
That's why it was just a surprise.
Those of us in the world who go to the Grove every week, it's just a giant presence in our life.
Well, I don't.
Stop it.
Is that what we're saying?
Yes.
Stop it.
No one's listening.
That's that
tweet.
Former sports guy of the Kevin and Bean Show, Matt Money Smith from the Petros and Money Show, joins us in about 10 minutes or so. He'll talk about what went so tragically wrong for Southern California sports teams over the weekend. It was not ideal, I don't think.
No, it was not.
First, though, tonight's a big night on the TV. The not just the season, but the series finale of one of the best all-time shows called House.
Mm.
2 hours. It's going to be tough to see that one go, isn't it, Ralph?
It's a one-hour retrospective. And then the final episode is the second hour. Yeah,
so. Good. I did not watch every episode, so that'll be helpful, right?
Yeah, it's going to give you just an overview of the series and the behind the scenes, and then there'll be the final episode.
Well, David Shore is going to be joining us later on today. He is the producer slash creator, right?
Yeah.
Of House, and he'll be on the show in the 9 o'clock hour this morning. But Beer Mug had the opportunity to go down to an event that Fox was throwing, where he could talk to several of the cast members from the TV show House, which I thought was very generous of them to invite us.
But I think it's important for us to listen to these so we know how much apologizing we have to do when David Shore gets here later in the episode.
Yeah. None.
Yeah, well, we'll be the judge of that, first of all. And second of all, this is the House series finale wrap party, so they're all in a good mood, you know, and celebrating.
Saying goodbye. It's been a big part of their lives is now over. I'm sure they're very emotional.
So the first interview that we have with Beer Mug is Richard Grieco.
I'm sorry?
Richard Grieco? What does he have to do with House?
Was this the 21 Jump Street wrap party? Or was
I don't know. I don't understand this, but that's what the first one is.
I saw 21 Jump Street. Spoiler alert, Mr. Depp's in the movie. And you are not. What's going on, man? When can we get you in the movie?
We're doing a sequel, so we'll see what happens to the sequel.
I can't wait, man. Richard Grieco, you're the man. The Greeks.
The Greeks. I don't know why he was there, why he interviewed him.
Now why is he the man? They didn't even invite him into a movie about 21 Jump Street.
When can we get you in the movie? Well, you can't because the movie's been shot and it's finished and it's been in theaters.
Generally, they'll close the process where you can then get into the movie.
After they release it, they're pretty much done filming it.
Now, plus, they've already upgraded your character to, I don't know, Johnny Depp, so probably not likely.
Now, I took most of his interview with David Shore out, so you're going to have to feel David Shore out a little bit later on and see how much apologizing that we need to do. But this is Muggs with David Shore.
Mr. David Shore. David, at the end of eight long seasons, the finale hits. Are you happy? Are you sad? Or are you apathetic? What are you feeling?
I'm bored.
I think he was referring to the interview more than anything.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah. I'm bored.
Are you apathetic about the show that you created that was a big part of your life? 8 years.
Why would he be apathetic?
I don't know. I was just throwing out words.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that is the definition of everything you do on the red carpet, is just throwing out words.
David, there have been many, many actors to come through the eight seasons of House. What was it like creating for all those different types of talent, and did it become challenging at times?
I'm sorry, what now?
Yeah, you heard it. I didn't even care about the answer. I just wanted to play that question because at the end of it...
Did it become challenge get times?
He wanted to know if it became challenge get times.
And did it become challenge get times?
Now, I know I shouldn't be mocking that, but I love it when somebody else does it.
That's spectacular, even by your standards, Kevin.
Robert Sean Leonard.
Oh, see, the best. And by the way, if he doesn't get an Emmy for this season of House, then there's something wrong with the Academy, because he's been brilliant.
Ralph, explain Robert Sean Leonard to people who don't know him personally.
He plays Dr. Wilson on the show, who is House's best friend and sort of the reasonable one of that twosome. And he is a brilliantly talented actor. He's been started as a child actor. He's been on Broadway.
Did you say he's wacky?
No. Robert is a very, very genuine, very earnest, very dedicated actor, takes his craft very seriously, and he's a great guy. I worked with him when I did my episode. He was the guy I worked with, but he's not a wacky guy.
How have the fans reacted to you, your character, on House over the eight seasons it has aired?
Now, that's the question. Now, you tell me what answer he's supposed to give.
What is left for him?
Muggs really is setting him up for every fan that's ever watched his character and what their reaction was.
Right.
That's an unanswerable question.
How have the fans reacted to you, your character, on House over the eight seasons it has aired?
I don't know.
He doesn't.
He doesn't know.
That's a very honest answer.
There's also a lot of why am I talking to a jackass in that answer, right?
Yeah.
Muggs, I know you never saw the show and you're trying to hide that, so you're just coming up with whatever questions you can. But were you thinking, hey, what kind of reaction do the fans give about Wilson? Like, what do people say to you about your character? Is that what you're looking for?
I don't know. I was just looking for, like you said, I've never seen the show, so I try to do a little bit of brushing up.
before the red carpet interview.
That has nothing to do with that, what Bean
that
just
question.
Said.
Yeah, that's nothing to do with that question that you asked.
That's what came up. That's what came out. I don't know.
So you researched to ask that question.
So what do fans think of your character?
Amber Tamblyn. Now he's talking to Amber Tamblyn, and she
had a couple seasons. She was on for a couple seasons.
She abandons him immediately and goes right to us.
I am here at the house series finale wrap party with the beautiful Amber Tamblyn. How you doing, Amber?
I love you, Kevin and Bean. Let's be together forever, please. Sandwich. I want a sandwich. I'm ready.
All right.
Wow.
She wants a sandwich.
The best interview ever.
Yep. That's all I put in there because then he ruins it.
I'm sure.
It was very nice. Now, the next interview that he starts with a weird, bizarre noise, and I want you guys to help me figure out what's happening. What's that? Is he taking care of business? What's he doing? Yeah, it's Amber Tamblyn.
It's awfully Beavis-y.
So then he goes on to ask the question.
Final question, I'll let you go, Amber. First of all, congratulations.
All right. I'd just like to point out.
Oh, no.
I'd like to point out in the order of things that when you start the question with final question, you cannot then go to first of all.
You can't fall back on the first of all.
Because you just said final question. So there's no first of all coming right after that.
And you've talked to her before that. Before you've said first of all,
right.
You've had a whole conversation with her. Right. So really, it isn't first of all to any level.
Final question, I'll let you go, Amber.
All right. Now, this is where Muggs brings the comedy. Muggs is determined now. He's no longer going to be a stooge. He has a question prepared, and he's going to slay with it.
First of all, congratulations on everything.
I'm sorry. I forgot about first of all again.
Congratulations on everything.
Why did you leave poor James Franco trapped in a rock to almost die having to cut off his arm in the desert?
Oh, because that was the end of the film.
Thank you, Amber, so much.
That's it. There you go.
Sweet Lord in heaven. You're an embarrassment on every level.
You didn't like that joke, Ralph?
It wasn't a joke. It wasn't a joke. It was just a lame-ass question.
But because she was in the movie 127
hours. You think we don't understand that? Yeah. Seriously, what's that?
Wow, that's quite a combination of bad.
So that is Beer Mugs. Really retrospective of House and
great show. Great,
I have
show.
Friends over there.
I know you need to apologize.
I gotta
every
send
single
them
one of them.
A fruit basket or something.
You do.
LaQuisha recaps last night's Keeping Up with the Kardashians season premiere. That's coming up next hour on the Kevin Minch Show and a brand new internet roundup as well. By the way, before we go to Matt Money Smith here, wasn't yesterday the first Kings game in the playoffs that Beer Mug has gone to, Kevin?
Did you go?
Yeah, but what are you saying here?
I'm just suggesting maybe it was the
first game the Kings have lost in over a month. That's maybe what I'm suggesting,
well,
Beer
look,
Mug.
There were 17,999 other people there, okay? Don't blame it on me.
Was it the first game you went to?
Of the playoffs? I was at a regular season game this year.
We might need to ban him. You're right, Bean.
Come on.
Beer Mug needs to stay away.
I'm just suggesting, if A, then B. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. I'm down
with that. Money Smith, of course, had a busy weekend, probably ignoring his wife and his many, many children because there was just too much sports on the weekend. How are you, Money?
I'm living in my car. I was thrown out the house.
Do you have a TV in your car?
No, just the radio, man. I'm going 1930 style. I'm wearing a fedora and corduroy.
That's rough.
Now, we've been all caught up with the playoffs, obviously having the Kings, Lakers, and Clippers all the playoffs. But you, of course, were also following the Dodgers sweeping the Cardinals. So you had a huge weekend.
Not to mention, Bean, and I know this is what the Kevin and Bean audience wants to talk about. Triple Crown, man. Second leg. I'll have another from right here in our backyard.
You are not talking horse racing. That is against the rules.
Listen here, Kevin. I'll get the railbirds to freaking sack your ass. You better be careful.
I don't know what any of that means.
Around 30 times, I guess, somebody's won the first two races, but it's very rare to win the third and get the Triple Crown. I don't know if this horse is going to do it or not, but yeah, a lot of exciting stuff going on.
Hey, you know what? I don't care about that.
it doesn't mean it's not still happening
right,
in the rest
fine,
of the world, Kevin.
You want to talk about the 1-4 record at Staples Center this weekend?
It was not an ideal Southern California weekend, if that's what you're saying.
No, it was not. It was like being told you were going to go to like the best high school party of the year and you expected to see a pyramid of kegs and it was a bunch of dorks sitting around with chips and pop. That's what it was. It was terrible.
Chips and pop.
Let's start with your beloved Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah.
What this series is every bit as tough as it was predicted to be, no?
Yeah, and look, I mean, this is the problem with the Lakers series. They got out-executed by a team of kids. Yeah. I mean, you are talking about a bunch of young dudes. And look, I understood the theory. This is, they're young, they're athletic. It was a truncated season. The Lakers are old. Their legs are tired. They just don't run out of gas. And that would have made sense. But in each of their losses, save the first one where they just got blown out, or blowed out, as Emmett Smith would like to say.
Blowed out?
they were out-executed in the final 2 minutes. You know, it was the young team with no experience that, you know, was nails in the Lakers that got shaky, turned the ball over, took ill-advised shots, and basically snatched defeat from the hands of victory.
Yeah, that was painful.
Yeah, it
they
was.
They really earned the losses, though.
They did. They made sure. And you know what? Gosh, I mean, to hell with Kobe and take it on Powell. And I people know that I have some issues with the way he behaves at times, and he is one of the best players of all time. Don't get me wrong. And I hate that I have to qualify that, because
right.
people should be smart enough to realize that going 2-for-10 in the fourth quarter does not earn you the right to call out one of your players for one bad mistake. And you can't do that. I mean, you absolutely, unless Kobe fouled, and for people that didn't see it, Kobe said, look, Powell's got to be more aggressive. He made a bad decision. You know, that pass was a bad decision. He has got to take that shot. And yes, that pass led to Kevin Durant's three-pointer that put the Oklahoma City up by three and ended up being the game-winning basket. But guess what? The Thunder were on a freaking 12-4 run because of Kobe's empty possessions and missed shots on ill-advised attempts.
But doesn't his history of being able to close put him in a position to talk like that, even though he didn't?
His history, put it this way, his history is in like a textbook provided by the federal government, and the actual history was authored by Howard Zinn. How about that reference on the Kevin and Bean show?
I'm going to have to write it down.
So here's what I would say. Kobe, since 2007, and I don't know if you saw this, this was a big deal after Game 2. Since 2007, in the playoffs, with 30 seconds or less, a game-tying or game-winning shot, 0-for-7.
All right. So is that good or bad?
I'm going to say that's bad.
Okay. So we remember the good times.
And listen, this is not me trying to put that on Kobe. I'm not saying it's all his fault. It is a flawed offense. It is an ill-advised approach. If you've got five guys on the floor and they're, you know, and they've got length, you know, long arms, and they can play defense, and you know that one guy is going to get the ball for the next 18 seconds and that guy is not going to pass it. Guess what? He's going to take a shot with two guys in his face, falling away from the basket, no less than 19 feet away. It's a terrible offense to run.
All right. Last question on the Lakers, then we'll move on to the Clippers. Is it a coaching problem?
Yeah, it is. It's a coaching problem, and it's a Kobe problem. You need to have a coach that demands his respect enough. And look, maybe Mike Brown can get that next year, can say, look, Kobe, let's sit down and watch this tape and see what we got to do to fix this. But you have to have someone to be able to say, Kobe, you can't play iso ball.
Right.
You cannot isolate yourself, dribble the ball, you know, dribble the clock out, and then put up an 18-footer and hope it goes in. We got two 7-footers inside. Throw the ball into them.
Right.
That has to happen.
All right. Even though the Lakers knew they were going to have a tough time against the Thunder, the Clippers knew they'd be lucky to win one against the Spurs because the Spurs just do everything right.
Look at the difference. You know, I mean, just continuing on the conversation we were having, right? You watch the Spurs in a tight game, and who's taking the shots? Well, take your pick.
Yeah, everybody.
Tony Parker, could be Tim Duncan. Heck, last night it was Gary Neal that was taking all the big shots. Who's Gary Neal?
Yeah, I've never heard of him.
Exactly. A guy that was playing in Israel, you know, for a while and couldn't make the NBA. They don't care. They are all about move the ball until the ball finds the highest percentage available shot. Shot available. And that's the way you play. And they look like a team. And look, this is the interesting thing about the Spurs. It's really going to chap some asses here. If they win this championship, what does that give Tim Duncan? Five. That will give him five championships and probably maybe four finals MVPs.
God, I hate him.
Why do you hate him so much, Kevin? If you are making the conversation,
if you want to have the old hypothetical, who is the best of the era, well, I guess that wouldn't be a hypothetical. It's just a debate that can't be won. I mean, how do you not go with Duncan? If he's got multiple regular season MVPs, the same five championships as Kobe, and more finals MVPs than Kobe, you know, this whole Kobe-Jordan conversation might go out the window. I mean, it's already out the window. But then you have to have that Kobe-Duncan conversation that's pretty hard to make a case if you're talking about just winning championships.
Wow, those sound like fighting words to a lot of people listening right now, Money.
Yeah, I got to wear the big mustache and a big hat on.
why do you hate him so much when he's such a dominant player, Kevin?
Because he's managed to take being one of the most dominant players in the NBA and turn it into boring time.
But that's what the Spurs are all about, is being
boring. Any other player that's good will try his best to get the energy up and get the crowd going. Maybe they dunk it and they put a little juju into it. He's got none of that. He's a librarian.
I love that.
I hate that guy.
I would love to just hear those two words. What's your problem with the Spurs? Boring time, man.
Boring time.
That's what it is. It's boring time.
Let's talk about the Kings.
Yeah, they're fine.
They're fine.
You want them to win 9 games in a row?
Yeah.
I mean, at some point, they got to drop it. I guess the problem with the Kings is they just looked hungover. I mean,
yeah, they did. They looked out of it. Yeah.
They looked tired. I mean, it was a noon game. They've been, you know, I don't want to say the banquet circuit. That'd be insulting. I'm suggesting they're already celebrating. But at some point, you got to assume a team's going to maybe take their foot off the gas just a little bit. It's such, you know, we talked about this last week. It is such a tough playoff. You know, it's just you grind. It's the hardest trophy to win, and it's not hard to imagine that after winning 8 games straight, all that grinding, you know, leads to guys to say, man, I got to take a breather here.
It was funny because I heard Jared Stoll interviewed after the game. And he's like, we're fine. You know, yeah. you sometimes you hit a down spot and you move on and they play again Tuesday night and, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you look at that game and Mike Smith, the goalie for the Coyotes, was just on.
He was on fire.
I mean, in that first period, the Kings certainly looked like they were trying to put their foot on their throats and just the guy was a wall. I mean, he made some incredible saves, and that was it.
Do you think there's anything to the working theory that we have that was the first playoff game that Beer Mug went to?
Oh, I was not aware of
perhaps that could be tied up very neatly around his neck.
Come on.
If you want, I've got access to the AP for the sports. I can just put that out.
Please do.
Okay, good.
Please do. That'd be great.
Come on,
and Money, in our final moments here with Matt Money Smith from the Petros and Money Show, airing weekly afternoons starting at 4 on AM 570. What about Kevin, who has just been blabbing off his mouth the last week that there's no way the Kings can't win the cup? He has said that repeatedly, that they've got it in the bag, start the parade plans.
Well, this is Beans. Kevin already has some bad hockey juju.
How dare you?
Because he touched the Stanley Cup. And if you do not win the Stanley Cup, if you're not part of an organization that wins the Stanley Cup.
I ran with it down a hallway.
Any self-respecting hockey fan knows you're not. Now I posed next to it. I stood next to it.
But you were smart enough to not touch it.
Exactly. While Kevin put his filthy mitts all over the
thing. Here's the thing, Money. I don't play hockey.
Yeah. Hey, wait a minute. You're going to go after freaking Beer Mug for showing up the Staples Center. And you're going to tell me there's no bad juju in your hockey life?
That's correct.
In the Stanley Cup?
That's correct.
That is Lord Stanley's cup.
That's right.
You're not to defile it with those filthy fingers of yours.
I did not realize that Kevin was double jigsaw. Wow. It'd be a miracle if the Kings ever win another game now that I know that. All right, Money, you're the best, man. Thanks for calling from the car. I hope you can find a shower somewhere today.
Yeah, have your listeners email me.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday. Kevin Bean Show. Good morning, Ralph.
Before I get to the beat, I want to give away some tickets to the advanced screening of a very funny new movie that we're kind of excited about here in the Kevin and Bean Show. It's called High School.
Yay!
High School. It is a stoner comedy in the long line of a tradition of great stoner comedies. This one stars Adrian Brody, Michael Chiklis, Colin Hanks. We've seen the trailer for it, and it looks very, very, very funny. Premise is...
Smoke weed every day.
Yeah, that's the premise, basically. a high school's bake sale is infiltrated by brownies that are laced with perhaps the most powerful strain of marijuana known to man.
And too bad Lisa's not here today. She'll be having chills.
The entire school gets way stoned in the course of this film. Looks very, very funny. If you'd like to see an advanced screening of High School, we'd love to give you a pair of passes. So let's make the first 3 callers at 1-800-520-1067. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First 3 callers who get through get a pair of passes to our screening Wednesday, May 30th. And the movie is in theaters everywhere Friday, June the 1st, so you can check it out then. But looks very, very funny. I think we're having Colin Hanks in, star of the film,
sometime soon
this week. I love him, too.
He's a huge Kings fan every game.
Yeah, big Kings fan.
Every game.
Let's not go right to the celebrity birthdays. Let's go to the top 10 movies at the box office, because it is Monday morning.
The Avengers, once again, number one at the box office. $55 million it made its third weekend. That's ridiculous.
That's an incredible opening amount of money for most movies.
It absolutely is. Battleship, which some people thought might take the number one slot this weekend just by the nature of everyone's been talking about it, and some people have been looking forward to it. $25.3 million made it number two this weekend. Not a big opening weekend for Battleship. A very expensive film.
You think they were looking more for 75, 85?
I think they're hoping for 50 at least.
Yeah.
The Dictator was third with $17.4 million. Dark Shadows came in at number fourth. What to Expect When You're Expecting was fifth in the box office. Then Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, The Hunger Games, Think Like a Man, The Lucky One, and Pirates Band of Misfits rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Will Smith got a bad surprise on the red carpet of the Moscow premiere of Men in Black 3 last Friday. Have you seen the video or not? It's all over the internet. But a reporter who TMZ claims is very fond of kissing celebrities tried to kiss Will Smith on the mouth. Will Smith pushed him away and slapped him. Gave him the back of his hand.
That is funny.
Will was very upset.
Yo, he tried to kiss me on the lips.
Sucker is lucky I didn't punch him.
I don't blame him, by
kiss
the way.
Kiss me on my mouth. The Joker is lucky I didn't sucker punch him.
That's a violation of your personal space Will if you're Smith a said. Person out there and somebody comes up and starts kissing you on the face.
I would think so, too.
Yeah, it was awkward.
Not cool.
But it makes for a hilarious video.
It
so
does. Very funny.
Check it out. Travolta would have kissed back, by the way. That's all I'm saying. If he had been on the red carpet. I've been very, very happy. Poor China. She's been suffering. She's in Miami for a porn convention. China, of course, former WWE wrestler.
Right.
She has passed out 3 days in a row while down at the porn convention.
Wow.
Passed out on the floor of the porn convention. They had to call paramedics. She said, oh, no, I'm fine. Just a little mixture of cold medicine and wine.
Really?
She said
3 days in a row?
Cold medicine and a glass of wine reacted poorly, she said. Then she went to a party at a hotel where she decided to strip down naked with her girlfriend and jump in the pool. She passed out in the pool.
Oh, wow.
That's not where
that's not hard to do. That's not easy to do.
No.
And then the next day at the porn convention, she passed out again, was rushed to the hospital. Calling Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew to Miami Beach, please. Dr. Drew to Miami Beach. People are speculating perhaps she is abusing substances again.
Yeah.
She is big. She is a big, big woman. How many substances does she have to take in order to pass out? Be like tranking an elephant. I don't know what they're hitting her with, but whatever she's got, I would like some of it.
You wouldn't need very much of it.
And poor Corey Feldman. It's bad enough that he's Corey Feldman.
Is he still alive?
Yeah. All Corey right. Haim, I think, is the other one you're thinking of that's no longer with us. Corey Feldman. Here's the thing about crazy girls. You got to be careful. He was apparently seeing some girl, let her stay at his house. Then decided it was time for her to go. She said, no, I'm not leaving. Started to use the California squatter's rights. She invoked that to stick around and live in the house. He had to get a restraining order against her, so finally she's out of his home. But that's a bad date that turns into months of someone who won't leave your house.
Wow, that's crazy bad.
Yeah, it's really bad. And sad news this weekend. A legendary member of the Bee Gees, Robin Gibb, has passed away at the age of... 62.
Means touching sound effects tribute.
He was the one of the two middle brothers in the Gibb family.
Nobody knew him, Ralph.
He was a twin with Morris.
Nobody knew Morris. There's no Morris.
There's Morris.
There is.
Morris and Robin Gibb were the twins in the middle of the Gibb family. Then you had Barry was the eldest and Andy was the youngest. People know the Bee Gees, Kevin, for God's sakes. One of the biggest selling bands of all time.
They don't know Morris. All I'm
saying. They know Morris and Robin, and they're saddened today. That
he was a Bee Gee. That's all you need to know, and now he's dead.
Yeah. Dead Bee Gee.
Very sad.
There you go. Today's celebrity birthdays. Gautier is 32 years old today. Fairuza Balk celebrates her 38th birthday. Star of House. She played Dr. Cuddy on that show for many seasons. Lisa Edelstein is 46 years old. Judge Reinhold, the actor, is 55. Mr. T, a pitied fool that turned 60 today. He's 60
he looks
years
good.
Old.
He looks good for 60.
Yeah. And Al Franken, comedian turned politician, turned 61 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
LaQuisha coming up with Keeping Up with the Kardashians and Frank Mir talking about UFC 146 coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I want to see Frank Mir fighting Khloe Kardashian. That's the fight that I want to see. My money might be on Khloe. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday. Thanks so much for joining us. Very excited about a show that is back on Spike this time, Monday nights at 11. Hey, that means tonight, World's Wildest Police Videos. Tell me this doesn't have Kevin Bean all over it, by the way. We are very excited to welcome to the program the, I guess, producer of the show, Paul Stojanovic. I knew I was going to do that. Stojanovic. Hi, Paul. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. You got it right.
Well, sort of, on my third attempt. We've had all week long, we've been anticipating you coming on the show, and none of us are able to pronounce your name right. But thank you so much for joining us. World's Wildest Police Videos is back. It's been gone for a while. What's the deal?
Well, we, after 10 years, decided to bring it back, and Spike had an ambitious agenda. And basically what's happened in the last 10 years is a lot more cameras and are a lot of different places. So if something absolutely incredible goes down with police, the likelihood of it being on on a camera is very high. So because of it, this season we have things that you never saw before in the original series.
So you started it, or your dad started it? Who started the show?
My dad was the original creator of the series, and he passed away about 9 years ago. So we've been running with his legacy ever since, and John Bunnell, who's the original host, is back, and we've been crisscrossing the country and the world to find the best video out there.
It is unbelievable to me, and you bring up such a great point, Paul, in that there is video everywhere now. I mean, you know, you read these stories sometimes that they say, you know, you're on video thousands of times a year and don't even realize it. But if anything goes down, wherever there's money, it seems like there's a camera. Somebody's going to have that, and it's legal to put that on television. You can put 7-Eleven surveillance videos or police dash cam videos. All of that is fair game for you to use.
As long as we get it licensed, and we can 95% of the time. I mean, if you go to a city like London, London has 20,000 cameras in the city.
Wow.
So you know, when the riots took place, we had so much footage, you couldn't believe what we were seeing. In fact, I went to go to the police stations, and they were showing me how they solved crimes, and you would just literally see, like, the guy gets the thought in his head, the guy commits the crime, the guy's running away, and you have his close-up to go hunt him down later.
And he looks at the camera and says, I can't believe I'm getting away with this, and my name is. And here's my phone number. What about, there's so many videos, and there's a great assortment of them on the Spike website, but there's so many videos of things, bizarre things that happen in traffic, like guys who are trying to get away from the police. You've got that amazing motorcycle that runs into the car, and the guy goes like 30 feet in the air. Are there just cameras at almost all of the major intersections now?
Well, I think to a large degree, yes. I mean, we have episodes this season that open on an iPhone camera. Like Hollywood and Vine, there was a gunman, and there were three different people shooting this gunman as he was shooting at traffic.
Wow.
So, you know, I mean, anybody potentially has the chance to be a cameraman on our show.
Doesn't it make you, when you work with this show, doesn't it make you thank God that you're not a police officer? Can you imagine? I mean, look at the stuff that they come across in the course of a day.
We do other shows where we go out in the field, and I think there's nothing more exhilarating than going out with a really skilled cop. I mean, the cops that go out and face life and death situations regularly, and when you're in the back of a car holding a camera when a police chase starts, it's a rush like, you know, riding big waves as a surfer. So there's no question that, yeah, there's an element of fear, but that just makes being out there with cops, I think, one of the most exciting jobs in the world.
I would ask for a gun if I were you. I mean, if I have a camera, I also need a pistol.
I have been given a Glock while
all right.
in Arizona. So.
All right. This is the voice of Paul Stojanovic here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about the World's Wildest Police Video Show that airs Monday nights on the Spike channel. You know, we were watching some of your videos in the office the other day after the show, Paul, and it is incredible the wide variety of stuff you have. And there was that one where the guy came into, I guess, like a city council meeting or something like that and basically started shooting up the place. Do you ever have discussions in the editing bay where you go, wow, I just don't know that people are ready to see somebody actually get shot on television?
Oh, there's no question. Actually, we've left out a lot of footage this year, and I think my rule is if it really affects my sleeping that night, then it probably shouldn't go on the air.
Right.
But it's a very fine line.
Yeah, I imagine. I mean, how do you know? How do you know what people want to see, what's too far, what's not far enough?
Well, and I think, too, since the original series aired, you know, audience expectations have changed. There's been a lot of spin-off shows from the original series. So trying to stay ahead of those expectations kind of pushes you in the direction of showing more. But you also have to have a sense of ethics and logic and reason before you go too far. And there's definitely been things where we just went, nah, this isn't going on the air.
Yeah, too many body parts involved in this one. I mean, because a lot of times you'll see a car blow up, for instance, but you don't actually see any of the people involved. You just know that's what went down.
Absolutely, and I think that it's how graphic it is.
Right.
You know, if you're removed enough, if you're seeing it from the helicopter camera, you know, sometimes that's enough to kind of take you away from it. Whereas if you saw it first person, like you were on a ride-along, I don't think you could stomach it.
You got to get the Parents Television Council to start protesting your show. That's how you get the ratings up through the roof, Paul.
Well, can't you guys give us a little help on that side?
Yeah, sure.
We're totally against this show.
This show is a disgrace. It shouldn't be on the air. I've got kids. Let's play the clip from, I'm not sure exactly which episode this is, but this gives you an idea of the energy of the world's wildest police videos. And then, Paul, we want to ask you about your announcer.
This outlaw's reckless greed has made him a threat to everyone else on the road. At these speeds, one mistake could cost another driver their life. Or their mistake could cost him his. A distracted motorist turns left, hitting the pickup's rear panel and flipping it into a utility pole. The vehicle bursts into flames.
Are you 100% sold on that announcer? Would you say that you're completely behind that announcer, or perhaps there's some room to negotiate?
Well, he lives with me, so if I have second thoughts, we're going to have a lot of internal strife at my house.
Yeah, awkward conversation. Is he related to the TMZ TV guy?
Well, you know, if TMZ is going to do a spinoff, we might have a new gig for him.
He needs to go all just full 20s. Just go, yeah, see? We got a car chase here, see?
The gas tank must have ruptured on that pickup truck. A startling crash here.
I'm just asking. So you're 100% on him because he's your roommate.
Well, you know, that's one of the reasons, and we're both scotch drinkers, so that makes it a lot easier.
Okay. Well, he's hilarious, by the way, and the show is perhaps not for the faint of heart, but if you always want to see crazy things that you read about in the news, like I had read that story about the guy who was robbing the store when the cop came in right behind him, was the customer standing behind him in line was the guy who was robbing the store. I never knew that it was on video, and I got to see that on your show.
He didn't know it was a copper, see?
That's the kind of stuff you get to see on Spike TV Monday nights at 11, World's Wildest Police Videos. Paul, thanks so much for the time. Good luck to you, sir.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for tuning in here on a Monday. Frank Mir will be joining us in about a half an hour or so. He'll be talking about UFC 146, I want to say, we're up to. Also, the return of LaQuisha in moments here on the Kevin Amin Show. First, though, how about a brand new Kevin Amin Internet Roundup?
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Live so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
KRock.com or KevinandBean.com, you can see all of these videos. The first one is Hello Courtney.
Bean, oh,
explain to people who Courtney is.
Courtney Stodden is this crazy lady who was 17 at the time, where she got her parents' permission to marry a 51-year-old actor who you'd recognize from Lost in the Green Mile. And she is just so unbelievably desperate for fame. Every week, she goes off into a park someplace in a bikini and does something so people will come and take pictures of her. She's always trying to get people to look at her because she's convinced she's a star. And her new thing is she's made a Hello Kitty video called Hello Courtney, where she prances around and pretends to be a cat.
Yeah.
I'm not joking.
And as bad as that clip sounded, it's worse.
I mean, she's got huge boobs. That's the only thing she's got going for her. Other than that, she's unbelievably stupid, and she's 18 now and looks 40.
Yeah, she's trying really hard to be sexy. Speaking of old people trying hard to be sexy, Granny G, apparently she's very upset. This is an old woman who's rapping about daddies that aren't around for the family.
Listen to me, you piss champions. You think you make a baby and then just will. You got no heart if you don't know the repercussions of a daddy no show. So keep it in your pants. Don't let it pass. Babies need a mama and a daddy to dance.
Yeah.
You know, for her age, and it's hard to tell exactly how old she is, but she's definitely a, you know, a little old gray-haired woman. She's a pretty good rapper. She was on America's Got Talent this week, as a matter of fact.
Was she really?
Yeah.
Wow. The Saturday Night Live's 100th digital short, they put every single person, including Justin Bieber, that has ever been in one of those digital shorts in this one.
Here's what we're going to do. Gonna shake off the cobwebs and limber up and stretch it out and do plenty of Pilates. Cause tonight we're gonna f*** our own.
Wait, what?
What?
That's disgusting.
No, it's not.
Hey, so they start doing that, and everybody's already committed to it by the time they realize what they're singing, and they're not happy about it.
And then they bring back a bunch of the stars from previous digital shorts because it's the 100th anniversary. So Natalie Portman reprises her rapping. Michael Bolton dressed up as Captain Jack Sparrow. I mean, it is star-studded. It's definitely worth checking out. You know, the rumor is, it hasn't been officially confirmed, is that Andy Samberg is leaving SNL as of this past season,
really?
The end of this weekend. So this could be kind of putting a bow on the digital short era on that channel.
50 Shades of Grey is the new hot thing. It's basically soft porn for moms, and it's read out loud by Gilbert Gottfried. Now, you wouldn't think that he would be sexy, but check this out.
Let Christian Grey seduce you over and over again through the voice of Gilbert Gottfried.
His hands reach around and touch my and my pucker at his touch.
It's not as sexy, I don't think, as the author intended it to
Who
be.
Who couldn't get turned on by the beautiful Gilbert Gottfried? Come on.
If you don't love politics, you certainly will. I think you'll love this. This is Mitt Romney Loves Things, and it's just basically him telling people what he loves.
Do you like iPads?
I have an iPad.
Do you like iPhones?
I have an iPhone.
Do you like vampires?
I don't like vampires, personally. I don't know any. I want to make sure that people know precisely why it is that I'm running for president. And the answer is very simple.
I love people. I love lakes. I was born and raised here. I love this state.
That's the Gregory Brothers doing a remix on that. Your versus your. I don't understand this. You remember Mac Lethal?
Of course. The world's fastest rapper. He's amazing.
He's unbelievable. And he steps up to the mic and he does the Gautier, somebody I used to know. That's the backup track for his rapping.
This one is a contraction, like you, apostrophe R, ready for action. You're at risk when the gym star slashed your skin. You're an idiot like Kim Kardashian. This one is your possessive, yours, your beer, your gun, your mom's a whore. I'm taking it kind of easy on just being a couple samples. Now I'm gonna give another example. Look, see,
he does it continuously. It's not possible to do what he does.
Yeah, it's amazing. He doesn't, I mean, there's no editing involved. He just turns on the camera and goes. He's incredible. And hopefully the message will be delivered to people that there is a difference between your with an apostrophe and your without.
I don't think anyone's getting that message. I think they're just looking.
I think that's why he did the video.
I know, but they're just watching him and going, wow. To me, that's what is it's worth. Error 37 rage, Error 3006 rage, Diablo 3 rage. This is a fat dude. Make up your own mind if there's something wrong with him. He's very upset that he can't play Diablo 3. He can't sign in, and he's very, very angry.
Because you have your servers down, the servers are down, and every time I try to log in, all I get error 37, error 37, I keep trying to log in, and I get error 37, error 37, why the f*** is it 37? What the f*** are the other 36? Shouldn't this be error number one? Error number one, I can't log the f*** in? Holy s***, what the f*** is number 35? Someone shot somebody running the servers? Did one of the hamsters get loose? I spent all night trying to get this goddamn collector's edition. I stood in line at Walmart. I could barely stand up. I stood in line. I just can't even play the game.
Now, if you just listen to it on the radio, I can understand how that would sound completely fake. When you watch the video, you go, well, it could be real.
Could be reasonable. Yeah, definitely. He looks like a guy who has spent all of his time screaming at video games.
And in the category of could be real, you have to make up your own mind by going to krock.com or kevinandbean.com for the internet roundup for the severe solar eclipse warning for California on May 20th.
Attention, citizens of California! Solar eclipse warning is finished over California! It's supposed to be a... and darkness in California! People in California have to be prepared for solar eclipse. It's going to happen on Sunday, May 20th. People in California, be prepared. Don't look at your sun or you get blind. People in California, be prepared. Have your special glasses ready when you to look at the eclipse. Don't look at the eclipse with bare eyes in California. People in California.
Okay,
stop yelling.
We got it.
Stop yelling at us, please.
He wants to be a drill sergeant, apparently. And by the way, I think his warning was heeded. The eclipse was last night. I did not read any reports of anyone looking at it and going blind. So, well done.
So, thank God for him. Well done. Yeah, go to KevinandBean.com or KROQ.com for the Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
This is going to be very difficult for you to believe, but the Keeping Up with the Kardashians show came back for its seventh season last night, Kevin.
Wow. Seven.
Seven seasons.
I would have guessed three.
Yeah, exactly. We didn't watch it, but LaQuisha did. And for the first time, she joins us to talk about the Kardashians. Hi, LaQuisha. How are you?
Where have I been the past 6 years?
Well, I know you love dumb white people. It seems like this is a show you should be all over.
I love dumb Armenian people even more.
Really? How was it?
It was more horrible than I ever possibly could have imagined.
Really?
Yes. These people are disgusting on every level.
Right.
Let me tell you something. If the Kardashians didn't have any money, they would not live their lives any differently than they do right now. They would be the same people in a trailer park as they are in a mansion. The mother would still be trying to run everybody's lives.
Right.
The hot one would still be banging a bunch of black guys.
Right.
The ugly one would still be complaining. The one that has all the babies would still have a drunk boyfriend who keeps knocking her up.
Yep.
The old man would still be checking out and not wanting to talk to anybody. They would live the same damn life as they do now.
That's true.
Money has not changed them at all. They are white trash on every possible level. Last night, Courtney is pregnant again. And now at least we understand, we know the important information of how low her underwear is when she's walking around.
Mother. How's your pregnancy going?
This time I feel a lot wider. Like this time, literally all day, I'm literally going like this all day. My underwear are normally way down here, so I have to all day also pull them out. My whole body is like widening, so the underwear go lower and lower.
That means it's going to be easier for you to have labor.
First of all, if wide means easier for labor, Chloe's going to be dropping babies just walking down the street. They'll be falling out of her. Secondly, how is this a TV show where they're talking about where her underwear is riding on her body?
That's a good
question. For like an hour, they talked about where her underwear is. How is this on television? How is it on television?
I don't know. Ask your little friend Ryan Seacrest.
Damn it, answer my question.
We cannot.
Kim, by the way, has come back to have dinner with her family because she is now realizing some things.
I'm just so excited that the whole family's here. After going through a divorce this past year, it just really taught me that family is the most important thing.
After that long marriage that she went through, after all the horror, all for years she was married, and then the divorce came around. How long was she? A couple years? 5 years?
72 days, LaQuisha. 72 days is all.
What now?
Just 72 days.
Like 2 months, right.
What?
That's all it was.
Yes.
And Kris Kardashian, Jenner, whatever the hell her name is, the mother of this family?
Yeah, she's hateable.
She is an awful person. She wrote in her tell-all biography. First of all, she wrote an autobiography.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Who the hell wants to know about her life? The people want to know where Courtney's underwear is hanging? She wrote in her book that she had an affair on her husband, Robert Kardashian. And that set into motion a whole bunch of questions about who was Khloe's father.
Ever since my book came out, people have been coming out of the woodwork with false accusations like Robert Kardashian's ex-wives accusing me of not being faithful when Khloe was conceived. Not true.
Not true. She was unfaithful to her husband at a different part of his life.
Right.
Not when Khloe was conceived. She was banging other guys behind her husband's back at a completely different time than they are saying. How dare they accuse her of adultery in a different time than she was actually banging.
She's a good person. I hope she waited until he was dying of cancer before she started cheating on him.
No, it was before, long before that. She was banging around with a bunch of people. So, Khloe, they say, who's your father? Who's your father? She's like, I don't care. I don't want to get into this. I'm happy with where I am. I don't want any DNA testing or any of this. So the first thing Kris Jenner does, in respecting her daughter's wishes, is call a guy to get a DNA test for his for his, her daughter that she don't want.
She doesn't want to call.
Hi, I heard that you were a specialist for DNA processing. Is that correct?
Can you do it against my daughter's wishes? Can we swab her cheek while she sleeps?
Bring in a hit team at night.
Now, she got to get the whole family swabbed in order to compare the DNA for a test that her daughter don't want.
Right.
So she gets her daughter's, then she got to go to Rob. Did you know there's a Rob Kardashian?
Yes, he's the one who was on Dancing with the Stars this year.
I didn't even know there was a Rob. I know there were three daughters.
Right.
The hairy one, the pregnant one, and the black penis-loving one.
Right.
And then there's two little girls. Whores in training that they got.
Oh, I didn't realize they had whores in training.
Yeah, they got two little whores in training.
Okay.
And then there's a Rob. I didn't even know there was a Rob. But they're going to talk to Rob about getting his DNA test.
So I'm planning to go out to Europe to meet with manufacturers regarding my sock line and kind of just like explore the whole fashion world. But before I go to Europe, my mom, Kim, and I are going house hunting. Personally, I want to own something and feel like it's a good time to buy a home.
A good time to buy a home with your parents' money.
Yeah, I was wondering. He doesn't have a job or anything,
he
does
he, LaQuisha?
He
has no money of his own, but it's a good time to... It's time for him to buy a house with someone else's money. He's now house shopping.
There's never a bad time to buy a house with someone else's money.
There really isn't. But I think it's important that he does get his house before he launches his sock line.
Did he say he had a sock line?
He is launching a line of designer socks. That is his business plan, is to go to Europe and learn all he can about the fascinating world of high-end designer socks.
Are you kidding? Can't you buy like 20 pairs of socks for $2 at the Costco?
That's right, you can, and people do, but he's going to have the Kardashian sock line.
All right.
For you people who love your high-end socks.
I don't know who that is.
Nobody. That's who that is. Poor Bruce Jenner, in the middle of all this craziness, this poor disfigured, what happened to his face? Did he get his face caught in a grease fire or something?
I think he had some kind of plastic surgery gone wrong.
Did he stick his head into a weed thresher? What happened to his face? I remember he used to be he was an American hero.
Yeah, and he could move his face at that time.
He won the decathlon in the Olympics.
He did,
yeah. One of the most decorated American athletes in the history of the Olympics.
Yep.
Now he looks like Joan Rivers. And he wears diamond earrings. Not a diamond earring. Diamond earrings, plural. One in each ear, looking like an old lesbian. He's walking around his house just shell-shocked with all these women yelling at him and the kid getting a sock line. He just wants the hell out.
No matter what I do, I can't win with Chris.
Sonny, I don't even feel like I'm wanted here anymore.
You're not.
I don't even sleep up here anymore. I've, like, had enough of this.
I'm really fed up. This is not the woman I married 21 years ago.
No. No, this is the woman that was banging around behind her husband's back, making people question who were the daddies for her daughters. Get out, Bruce Jenner. Run away as fast. You used to be able to run fast. I remember you in the Olympics. Run like the wind away from these people, Bruce Jenner.
He seems stuck. He cannot help it.
Well, they keep trying to tell Chloe to take this damn DNA test, and she doesn't want to do it, but Chris just won't let it go.
We've all agreed to do a DNA test.
This is just dumb. So.
It's not stupid, and
it's
you do care.
It's not stupid to you. You're the one who wrote it.
You had an affair about however many years ago.
It was 25 years ago, and I wrote a memoir, okay? And when you write a memoir, you have to, like, tell your life story.
She wrote a memoir.
She did write a memoir.
She wrote a memoir.
In her defense, it was a memoir.
A memoir about different men in her vagina. That made everybody question who the father was of her daughter with a memoir. Well, Chloe just won't have it, and that's the end, and they won't. She will not submit to a DNA test, and here's the reason why.
You have to respect me, too. Let's just let bygones be bygones. I'm an Odom anyway. I'm not a Kardashian anymore.
What?
Because she's
Lamar
married?
Lamar Odom's her real father?
No,
you mean Lamar Odom had sex with Chris Jenner?
No, that's not.
He married his own daughter?
That's not what she meant.
That's not what they're saying. She's saying, I'm not a Kardashian anyway because I'm married. Now I'm an Odom.
Oh,
temporarily.
What happens when she divorced? Then what's she going to be?
Then the questions start all over again. Absolutely.
Well, I don't think she's ever going to take the DNA test because she's happy with who she is.
What my mom needs to truly understand is I don't have a doubt about who my family is. I have had a blessing of having two phenomenal fathers.
That's right. Robert Kardashian and O.J. Simpson.
Nicely done, LaQuisha. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Beer is in the next room. We'll be joining us after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about UFC 146. Beer Mug, the hairy one behind the console, is the one who said he could kick your ass, Frank, just so you know, before you come in here.
Yeah, he did.
Right now, I heard you guys heard it, right? Hello. Can we get Ralph's mic on, too?
Let's do it.
And Beans, everybody's mic should be on.
Wow. Hello.
It's just not working.
Hello.
Use another one.
Use the green one.
We can try?
Yeah, right. Use the green one.
How about this?
There you go.
Does this one work?
Yeah.
Okay.
Welcome back, Ralph.
Thank you so much. Good to
that
be
was
back.
Weird.
I don't know what happened. All right, good.
Well, I wasn't Bean up earlier either.
Oh, that was my mistake.
Oh, that was okay.
Your mic was not my mistake. Bean's mic was my mistake.
I was talking and you guys couldn't hear me?
Correct. Nope, no way.
No,
fantastic.
You were on.
Didn't hear it.
It was all good.
Nope. It's Monday, everybody. It's Monday. Welcome to Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Avengers, once again, number one for the third week in a row. $55 million made The Avengers number one. Battleship was number two at the box office. $25 million. A little less than they were hoping, I'm sure. But made it good enough to make it number two for this past weekend. The Dictator, in its debut, made a little over $17 million. Made it number three. Dark Shadows was fourth. What to Expect When You're Expecting was fifth. Best Exotic Marigold Hotel was sixth. The Hunger Games, Think Like a Man, The Lucky One, and Pirates, Band of Misfits, rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Kristen Wiig said goodbye on Saturday Night Live this past weekend. She is leaving the show after seven seasons on that show. Moving on to bigger and better things now that she's a big success with Bridesmaids.
That's going to hurt them on SNL. I'm telling you, she was one of the heavy lifters on that show.
She was one of the few funny people on that show. Now what are they going to do? I don't know if you saw the goodbye segment, but it was very awkwardly staged and just really weird television.
Bean was touched by that.
And I said, such a typical way for them to go out. They can't even do a graceful goodbye for Kristen Wiig. They made it some aborted sketch about people were supposed to be graduating from a school and Mick Jagger was the headmaster. And she was going to go be a nun.
Wait, this is how they were saying goodbye to her?
Yeah, they set it up as a lame sketch, and she's wearing like a cap and gown, and then she gets up and she takes off the cap and gown, and then the cast comes out and they all dance with her while they're singing old Rolling Stones songs.
Were you high?
I wish
were
I
you
was.
Drinking?
It was like an acid trip, and a really unfunny acid trip. And I was like, couldn't they have just said, Kristen Wiig's leaving us, we want to say goodbye, and have everyone come out and dance with her? And you know, if they wanted to do that, they could have, but they had to make it some weird, bad sketch that failed.
Well, it is Saturday Night Live.
That's true. Maybe they wanted her to leave, remembering most of her time was spent on that show trying to save failing sketches. So she will be missed. Her co-star from Bridesmaids, Melissa McCarthy, has just announced that she is doing a new movie with Sandra Bullock. They will play two female cops, one uptight FBI agent and one local Boston cop who have to work together. The FBI! See, they're mismatched. Kevin, it's a buddy movie. They're an odd couple, is what they are.
So they've never been tried with cops before, though, Ralph. This
but
is
these
fresh.
Are women cops. Here's the thing: it's because Bridesmaids was such a hit. You're going to see every hackneyed old genre of film now recast with women instead of guys because they're going to be desperate to create that phenomenon all over again. So,
and that was a great movie.
But. It was a great movie, but just because there was a successful female comedy doesn't mean you can take anything and jam two women into it and then make a success out of it. But we'll see. And Melissa McCarthy's funny.
She is funny.
Sandra Bullock is sweet. And Robin Gibb of the Bee Gees passed away yesterday at 62. That's just not. There's no point in playing Tron music for the Bee Gees.
That's his touching sound effect tribute.
Passed away. It's sad, Ralph. Come on.
That was the music that they played in Tron when you reached another level, by the way. It wasn't even,
when someone died?
It was like when Tron dies, they didn't play that.
Hmm.
It was like when you move on to take on the tanks or whatever, light cycles.
I'll send that one back to the lab then.
Jeez. Today's celebrity birthday is Gautier. He's 32 years old today.
I keep thinking I know that guy. But I guess I don't.
Oh, my God, file. Oh, my.
You're saying he's just somebody you used to know?
I think so. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe I'm confused because of.
Oh.
I hate you. No. Oh, no.
You can't
no.
Hit the sound effect nope. For applause you cannot for yourself.
There you go.
Lisa Edelstein of House fame played Dr. Cuddy on that series for many seasons. She is 46 years old. Judge Reinhold, 55 years old. Mr. T turned 60 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Oh, side control from here. Look at this. Kimura from Frank Mir.
It's Frank Mir.
Wow. And he knocks out Mirko Groka.
Man.
I really like the way Frank Mir's using his boxing here. His hands look excellent. Oh, again. Oh, that's it. Nogueira.
Some nice combinations.
He's got about
it. It's all over. It's up. It is all over.
Unbelievable.
Frank Mir
just tapped Minotauro Nogueira.
Fighting out of Las Vegas, Nevada, Frank Mir.
So, Saturday night in Las Vegas, winning the heavyweight championship for a third time against Junior Dos Santos will be the best part of your week. The worst part of your week, joining us here in the Kevin Reed Studios right now here at K-Rock. How are you, Frank?
I'm doing real well. Thank you.
Thanks for being here, man. How do you feel a few days out? I mean, are you even thinking about it right now, or are you just concentrating on the next task that's in front of you today?
No. You know, I would be lying if I said it's not a constant thought in my mind. I'm constantly, you know, every time I have a down second, you're thinking about the fight and you think about Saturday. It consumes my thoughts all the time. Actually, sometimes all the media stuff doing leading up to it is kind of, at times, even though it could be tiresome and in long days, it could be a welcome distraction.
It seems like that would be the hardest part is waiting for the fight. It seems like you train for months, and then you just have to kind of, at some point, you're pretty much ready.
Yep.
And yeah. Then you just have to kind of wait.
That is the difficult part, shutting down the training. A lot of guys, and I'll see them still kind of train too hard leading up to the fight, and I understand why. It's a way of burning nervous energy.
Mm-hmm.
If you're already in good shape, though, a week out, you actually want to start toning it down. You know, not that we stop working out, but obviously the intensity and the chances of getting an injury have to be taken into consideration. And, mostly pad work and leading up, and there is just a lot of kind of waiting around and just counting down. I constantly look at my watch and, okay, in two more days. I'll be
really?
Here.
Wow.
Three more days.
Tell us about a typical day when you're training hard.
Typically, Monday through Friday, I train twice a day. Saturday, I only train once. On those days, I get up, at 9 o'clock. I don't have to be at the gym till working out till 11. It alternates on Monday, Wednesday, throughout the week, where I'm at. I'm either at Robert Drysdale's doing jiu-jitsu in the morning, or I'll be at my coach's gym, James Gifford, working on boxing and striking, working with him and Sean Yarbrough. And then at night, I work out of my own gym. It's a private gym that I ended up renting and furbishing with a cage and a boxing ring and mats, for the reason being that I have my children that are constantly with me. And I go and train at 6 o'clock in the evening, and that's kind of prime time to be around the kids. So in my career, I'd train at commercial gyms.
Mm-hmm.
Well, having your kids running around and screaming in a gym that's trying to make money and sell memberships.
Hey, Frank, is there any way you can leave the kids at home?
Yeah, I started getting those looks, and it's kind of hard. It's like, okay, well, wait a minute. My kids come home, get home at 4 o'clock. They sit down with their tutor till 5. I leave to go to the gym at 5:30, come home at 8:30.
Yeah.
When am I going to see my kids throughout the week? That's not too cool. So I got my own gym. So in the evenings, we go there at 6 o'clock, Monday through Friday, after training, taking a nap, get up, go, and bring the kids in tow, sometimes one of the dogs. And nice. That's when we do the hard training, a lot of wrestling, a lot of striking. And
how old are your kids, Frank?
I have three my own, the 8-year-old daughter named Isabella, 6-year-old named Cage, and he'll be 3, and my youngest is Ronan. And then I actually have a 19-year-old stepson, my wife from a previous marriage.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Fantastic. What do the 8 and the 3-year-old think about what daddy does for a living?
They all love it. They're into it. It's funny, the 3-year-old, soon to be 3, the other day I was driving in the car. It's been about 2 or 3 months now, and all of a sudden Ronan, he's all, "Daddy." And I'm like, yeah, I'm looking back at the car seat. Yeah, baby, what's up? He goes, "We need to go to the gym." And it's like 9 o'clock at night. I'm like looking at him. I just picked him up from the nannies. I'm like, why? And I'm thinking, okay, what did he leave there? I'm like, oh, man, is it better just to run a Target? And whatever toy he forgot, I'll go buy another one.
Right.
I'm not driving all the way back to the gym now at 9 o'clock at night. I've had a full day. I'm done. He goes, "We got to train." I look at him like, we're going to train. He goes, yeah, I got to train, a fight. I'm like, oh, no, man. You're going to private school. You're not fighting. Get out of here.
If he wanted to fight, would you?
Well, you know, like my father's a martial artist.
Right.
My parents both came from that background. You know,
they seem fine with you being in that environment.
And actually, my dad hates it.
He hates it.
He loves the fact that I'm a martial artist. And my kids train, too, now.
Uh-huh.
We're martial artists as far as a lifestyle. But doing it professionally and having to depend on a paycheck, how you do, and injuries. You know, I would test that to any kind of career where it's sports orientated. It's kind of nerve-wracking. I can train hard for 3 months, put everything on hold, not be successful in the fight. And that's going to affect me monetarily.
Right.
And that's difficult. You know, it's easier to have a job where, you know, what my father preferred, what I want for my children is, you know, they go to college, they have a well-paying career. And when they, you know, clock out at the end of the night and they're going home, they can, you know, put their briefcase away or take off their, you know, medical jacket. And they go to the gym and they train. They want to throw punches and kicks and toss people around and choke somebody. But it's on their own terms. There's no, your ankle hurts today. Well, you get to take the day off. You can go home and ice it.
Right.
My ankle hurts. It's like, well, you tape it up and, you know, you got to fight. You gotta,
So when you go in this weekend, it may be the difference between a state school and an out-of-state Ivy League school, right, basically.
Well, luckily at this point in my career, me just showing up, my kids are pretty well taken care of.
Yeah.
This is now depending on whether my wife gets, you know, where we're shopping at afterwards, jewelry-wise.
Gotcha, yeah. Now, will you let the kids, the younger kids, watch the fight or no?
Oh, yeah, and all the time. They watch
really?
All my training. Yeah, my kids are 2 inches away from me outside the cage. There's times, you know, Daddy, get up, move, you know, because they see it just like how a football player's son would see it or a hockey player's kid would see it.
Just work.
It's just a sport.
It's your job.
Yeah, you know, there's no, they'll see, you know, at one point, you know, one of my training partners is trying to, you know, maneuver me into a choke and squeeze on me and everybody's screaming and yelling. And then all of a sudden, boom, bell rings. We get up. And it's like, hey, so what'd you do last night? Oh, you know, I took the girlfriend here. Oh, yeah, really? My wife and I went there. So they can see that there's no negative energy. There's no
maliciousness. It's pretty safe. Right,
yeah.
I got you.
And, you know, just like a football player, he sees his dad, you know, two guys can hit each other on the field.
Right.
They're going to go at it hard. You know, when that linebacker hits that corner, he's trying to tag that quarterback.
They ever come to you and say, you should have done this?
Oh, you know, it's funny. My daughter's done that to me a couple times. My two sons haven't.
But your daughter's coaching you now.
Yeah, my daughter's come up to me, the 8-year-old, you know, and she was like, Daddy, you know, Nogueira punched me, you know, and I took a pretty good shot in the fight. He said, remember, you comb your hair, you lift up your elbow, Daddy, you block like this. I'm just like, we're in the jacuzzi, and my wife looked at me, and I'm just like, you're right, baby. You're absolutely right. I don't have nothing to say to you.
There's no out
for you. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I had my hands a little low. And yeah,
that's
you're right.
That's awesome. This is the voice of Frank Mir here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about the Saturday night fight at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. 7 o'clock on pay-per-view, by the way, against Junior Dos Santos. What are you, 32 years old now, Frank?
Yeah, I should be 33 on Thursday.
Oh, early happy birthday to you.
Thanks.
How long can you continue to fight in this in your chosen profession?
Well, if you talk to my wife, I'm going to be in my 40s.
Yeah. sure.
You know, I think it's just all dependent right now upon injuries and being healthy. I actually, you know, I want to enjoy my children as they get older and be a part of their life and not, you know, injured. And luckily, our sport really isn't that, you know, conducive towards permanent injuries.
Yeah, it's a lot worse to play football in terms of year-to-year damage.
Absolutely. You know, if you look, I mean, Randy Couture is healthy and competing up to, you know, into his later 40s.
Yeah.
Don't let
your wife hear you say that, though.
No, you know, my thing is, and that's what I tell her, and my complaint is that, you know, it was fine when the kids were in preschool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my daughter now, you know, she has her soccer practices and she has her, you know, Hollywood kids. She goes to singing and dancing. And, you know, my son Cage is very interested in baseball. So we have him a coaches pitches league, you know, where I'm one of the coaches out there. You know, not that I'm any good at baseball, but, you know, I'm out there spending time with my son, you know, shagging balls and running around, you know. I miss a lot of practices, you know, and I try to make things. I try to be there. But there's a lot of times that, you know, I'm in the gym training for fights or I have obligations that I have to go do because of career-wise, like any other parent, you know. But I sit there and go, you know, well, you know, that's the thing me and my wife kind of, you know, not eye to eye on. I'm like, well, when's enough enough? You know, like, when do we have everything established and taken care of that
that's
I can –
That's the million-dollar question. Yeah,
can I pull back so that financially you're happy where we're at and now I can go ahead and just be a stay-at-home dad? And, you know, not that I won't do the commentating and some analyst work.
Which you're good at.
Yeah, and break it down and say, hey, I'll leave on a weekend here and there and – and you know, keep up some, you know, Disneyland money. But for the most part, just I want to be, you know, my time in my life to achieve goals and stuff, there has to come to an end to that. It's like, okay, I've done it. I've been there. I have the medals on the trophy wall. There has to be a time where I can just purely be a father, and I'm very excited about stepping into that role of I'm a supporting figure now. I don't want to be the star anymore. I can watch them grow up and help them out.
How important is it to you to retire whenever that day comes as champion?
You know, it'd be nice to finish, but I got to be realistic. Most guys don't finish until, you know.
Because most guys still have some good paydays ahead, even after they lose the big one.
Yeah, you're in a title fight, you know, your main event, the publicity that comes around it. Even if you are unsuccessful and you lose a title or a title bid, you're going to have a couple more fights financially that are doing well. And plus, as a fighter, I think we all, you know, kind of wonder what's going to, you know, can we do one more? And if you're on top, it's like, well, maybe one more.
I don't know how you could quit if you're on top.
Yeah.
I just don't know how you would have
I don't, it's my wife. She would be right now freaking out if she heard my conversation. She's like, you're miserable when there's too long between fights. You know, she tells me, she goes, you're good for about a month. She goes, and then you start freaking out on me. She's like, yeah, you're calm and passive because you go in the gym and you battle all the time.
Yeah.
She goes, I've seen you when you haven't had a fight in, you know, 9 months and a little longer between.
So you need to fight, but she doesn't want you to fight, but you need to fight.
Yeah, so it's one of those things where it's like, you know, like – you know, you say you want to retire, Frank, but you're going to say it. And she goes, I guarantee you're going to be miserable about it.
Well, yeah. she may know more. She may know what she's talking about here, Frank. She may be right about that. UFC 146 is Saturday, May 26th. That's this Saturday night at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. We have much more to talk about with our guest, Frank Mir. We'll return right after this on the Kevin. The very entertaining Frank Mir in our studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Follow him on Twitter at TheFrankMir, and FrankMir.com is the website. Saturday night, you're going to be fighting Junior Dos Santos. How well do you know him, Frank?
You know, I've met him a few times. Obviously, you know, the small world of the UFC guys. He was always very polite, very, you know, seemed very genuine, nice guy. As far as I've never shared drinks with him or, you know, broken bread. But other than that, we've had to be around each other due to, events and whatnot.
Well, he is the champ. He is 14-1. Dude knows what he's doing. Does he scare you at all?
No, I think that at this point in my career, you know, even earlier on, you don't really get scared of guys anymore because if you're cautious of everybody, the minute you're not worried about what one of the, I mean, you got to realize every time I step into the octagon, I'm facing one of the world's best fighters.
Someone good, yeah.
Yeah, there's not really any pushovers where if I say, hey, you know who I'm fighting, and people don't go, who?
Yeah, right.
It's been a while since I've ever had that reaction after one of, you know, my bouts are declared. Everybody I fight is a who's who of, you know, the world.
Sure.
And so, you know, a healthy sense, yeah, you know, if he connects a shot, it's going to be a very miserable feeling, you know. So I don't want to get hit by him. I want to limit it as much as possible.
I'm not asking you to give any secrets because, you know, you want to save some surprises for the ring. But, I mean, experts, people who write about things like this, about who follow the UFC, all say that you have very little chance of beating him. Is that something you just think there's something you know that they don't, or are they just underestimating you?
No, I mean, I think it's kind of – I think once a common opinion goes out there, a lot of writers, I don't think, really think too far into a subject. They just kind of tag along and kind of regurgitate information that
– You've had this before, too, where it's happened to you before.
Almost every fight I've ever been in, I'm not supposed to win.
Right.
I can't think of many that I've ever been actually the favorite. And if I have, I've always been favored. Maybe it's a little bit even. The reason I know that I have friends, you know, obviously being in Vegas, that love to bet. And every time I – the more of an underdog I am, the happier they are.
Of course.
You know? And so no, I'm used to it, and I understand to a point, you know, because he's on a roll, he's undefeated in the UFC, but I think that when it comes to MMA fighting, that's the one thing that people always try to, oh, you know, you never know what's going to come out. I'm like, well, that's because you don't really approach it with the right mindset. You need to erase as far as who has what record and break down what weapons this guy brings to the table, what weapons the other guy brings to the table.
The individual matchup.
Right, and then how does his strengths, you know, how does he fare against past opponents with those strengths and weaknesses?
Mm-hmm.
How does this guy fare against guys with past strengths and weaknesses? And then it gives you a better idea of what's going on. And it, again, it's still very hard to bet in our sport because, you know, we're wearing 4-ounce gloves and everybody's, you know, decent, you know, even the guy who probably throws the weakest shot in our division still is capable of knocking out anybody on any given night if it lands. You know, that's why I remember when people asked me about the JDS when he fought Velasquez to win the title. People say, hey, did that outcome surprise you? I'm like, No? Like, you were expecting that? I'm like, well, no, I'm not ever expecting a quick knockout. But when you tell me the two guys that weigh 240 pounds that are world-class fighters are swinging, and one guy got hit and dropped, and the guy finished him off in less than a minute, that's not surprising. Now, if you had told me Junior came out there, you know, threw a jab, but then immediately shot in, took down Velasquez,
right,
and out-wrestled him for five rounds and just basically mauled him on the ground and then, you know, submitted him, that would have surprised
now
me.
Now you'd be surprised.
No,
yeah.
I'd have been like, wow, I got to be honest with you guys. Did not see that one coming. But yeah, two guys at heavyweights throwing punches in heavy leather and someone gets connected. Hey, that's heavyweight fighting. That's why the rounds are typically shorter than any other division.
You know what's strange about you compared to other fighters is that other fighters seem to need to build up that energy through mouthing off and getting angry. And you seem like you're just the most calm, nice guy in the world. Always, right up to the fight, you're shaking hands, you're fine with everybody, you seem like it doesn't affect you that way at all.
Well, I mean, it's just a time to flip the switch and time not to. If it's there, it's there. You know, some guys don't have that instinct to be able to turn it on and lay down the smack, I guess, but they need to, you know, they're like the guy in the bar that, you know, you first bump shoulders, you spill a drink on him, and at first he doesn't do anything.
Right.
But he's going to sit there and he's going to mouth off to his friends. He's going to talk to himself. And a half hour later, he might talk himself into the fight, and now he's dangerous.
Right.
And the other guy doesn't say nothing. He'll just smack you and just be like, that's what you needed to have happen right now. No emotional reply to it. There's no purpose for it.
That's what
you
needed
like squashing
to have
a bug. You know? I'm not mad about it. I'm not angry. But if the bug needs to be killed, yeah, you go over and smash it. You know?
Frank, we were having some laughs last week, I guess it was, after the Floyd Mayweather fight where he walked into the ring with his posse, including Justin Bieber. You got any surprises in your entourage that you're going to be entering in with in Las Vegas this
weekend? Nah, that, really I don't think anybody's style. Topping the Bieber. The what the moment, yeah.
That did throw us all on our heels, didn't it?
Yeah, I'm like, I would never imagine these two ever being in the same building.
No. In the same country.
Yeah.
That's absurd.
Which, whatever. Hey, we're talking about it. Yeah,
exactly. Do you, if you can be objective, forget the fact that you're Frank Mir, but can you be objective and say what is your strongest discipline and what is your weakest, you think, in terms of the tools you have?
I think right now, objectively looking at my fights, I would have to say my strongest discipline is just the fact I'm well-rounded. If you look at all the fights, I've finished fights with submissions, more submissions than any other individual right now in the heavyweight division, and devastating submissions on top of that.
So, yeah, whose arm did you just... You break his arm?
Recently, yeah, Noguera, but he's not the first one.
I don't want to see that, though.
Yeah.
I was like, no. Oh. And then we watched it 50 times. And
he had the opportunity to tap. That was his fault.
I agree.
And so, and I've knocked guys out. I've out-wrestled guys. So I've shown that I've had capable of winning fights from different areas.
Is that the most important thing to a fighter is to not have a glaring weakness?
I think so. I think, you know, that's one thing I try to break people down and explain. My mentality is to be that of a decathlete. You know, is someone going to be faster than me? You know, yes. Are they going to, throw the javelin farther? But the idea is not being a specialist in one area, but trying to be well-rounded in all areas. And that's how I approach the fight game. And it's like, okay, I could be someone who spends every moment in the gym working on jiu-jitsu, and this will be a very strong aspect. But, I mean, I only have so much energy. I only have so much time in the day. I know a lot of young guys would be out there and go, I'll train 8 hours a day. I'm like, yeah, right. You'll do it for 2 weeks, and you're going to be burnt out, or you're going to blow out a knee, or you're going to have an injury. And because the human body can only take so much, wear and tear.
Right.
So you have to allocate your time. And go, okay, I'm going to spend so much time here and so much time there, and I'm going to work this. And you have to be smarter about things. Everybody always thinks train harder is better. It's like, no, I'll train smarter.
Do you train smarter for individual fights? Do you pick? Do you look at this particular fight and say, I need to train this part of my repertoire?
Well, for the 80% of it is me training myself. I'm the one opponent aspect or, exponent of the fight that I know is a given. It's me.
Right.
So we know what is, I need to work on. We look at the last fights, and also to my coaches, we videotape all our sparring. So we know trends of like, okay, look, you typically have a problem with this.
Oh,
and we're working on it. And then it never fails. Once I fix that, it's like, okay, well, now I can stop this maneuver. Okay, now when the guy gets that stopped, most likely, 90% of the time, this is his reshot. It's going to be over here, or his next combination punch will be here, or the flow of transition of a submission will be here. And so now we got to work on the next step. So what my wife always says, one time we're sitting there, and I finally stopped this move. I was having a hard time with up against a cage. And it's been just a nightmare for me for a couple of years now. For some reason, there was a weight distribution that's an issue. And now I'm stopping it. And then all of a sudden I got thrown with something else. She goes, what happened? And one of the coaches said, well, now that Frank's dropping his weight and getting the underhook, he's susceptible to this lateral dropping because he pushed in too hard.
It never ends.
And that's what she said. She goes, so now that you stopped this move, you got to figure out how to stop this one? She goes, this is like never ending. I just kind of smiled. I'm like, isn't that great? Like, there's never an end to it. There's never a mastery.
Yeah.
You just constantly are learning and developing, and you're working on what works for you and trying to constantly improve.
Saturday night, MGM Grand Las Vegas. Get it on pay-per-view. The action begins at 7 o'clock. Frank, where's the party after you win, after you're the heavyweight champ again? Where are you guys heading out to in Las Vegas?
First of all, I always go up to my hotel room afterwards and hang out with the kids. But I'll be hanging out at one of the Stevie D properties. Actually, we come back from break. I'll look at my phone. I have the contract.
Okay.
Looked at it. I was going to hang out at Chateau, but it was funny. When they first booked the fight, that's where Junior's at.
Maybe not ideal.
Yeah, so but at one of the other properties right there, I think so.
Well, we couldn't have enjoyed talking to you more today, man. Really excited that you were able to come in and see us, spend some time with us. We've got our fingers crossed. We hope it goes great for you Saturday, man. Thank you.
No problem.
Thanks, Frank. We appreciate it.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:43. What a show for a Monday here on the world-famous K-Rock. Very much enjoyed talking to Mr. Frank Mir. And David Shore joins us in the 9 o'clock hour. He is the creator of the TV show House, which leaves the airwaves tonight after 8 great years on Fox. Very excited to talk to that dude. Right now, though, TMZ.com, Harvey Levin. Hey, Harvey.
Good morning, guys.
How are you? Thank you so
I'm
much
good.
For joining us. A lot of great stuff up on the site this weekend. And, of course, today, let's talk about Will Smith to get us started. Tell folks what happened with him that involved him punching somebody out on camera.
Well, it was more of a slap, but he was in Moscow on the red carpet for Men in Black 3, and a reporter there kind of grabbed him and hugged him, which was okay. Then he kind of kisses him, which was still kind of okay. And then he goes in again for what looked like might have been a kiss on the lips. And Will just, Will pushes him angrily. And then he kind of walks away. He made two steps. And then just hauls off and backhands the guy.
It was sweet.
Then walks two more steps and says that he should have decked him.
Now, I'm not seeing much backlash on Will. Most people seem to think, hey, the dude was really out of line to try to kiss somebody on the mouth that he doesn't know.
I mean, it's so interesting you're saying that because that's what I wondered as soon as I saw it. I thought, are people going to start kind of, you know, psychoanalyzing him, saying it seemed a little too angry or whatnot? But I think you're right. I mean, 80% of the people on our site felt that the guy deserved it. But this guy, by the way, it's his shtick. He does that with celebrities on red carpets. I mean, that's what he does in Russia. It's Russian humor.
Oh, so he kisses them on the lips to see what kind of a reaction he can get?
I think so. It's his shtick. But you're right. I mean, I thought it would be more of a horse race on this, but pretty much everybody is saying that Will Smith should have done what he did, if not more.
And it sounds like you agree also, Harvey.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little weird because he cleared the guy and then decides to slap him.
Well, I think it took him a while to realize what was going on.
Yeah,
you know, like you don't.
You're a celebrity. I think that's right.
You're a celebrity, and maybe you know, go to an event like that, and you expect a certain amount of interaction with your fans. That's partly why you're there, but you don't owe them your lips.
No, absolutely. I mean, look. Yeah. I mean, and again, most people agree with that one.
All right, thing two, and Ralph brought this up earlier on today's show, and I thought this was a fascinating story, and I can't wait to hear more about it.
I hope you're going to talk about the story we broke yesterday.
Is it the Timothy Busfield story in the movies?
Yes.
Please tell us what happened. I know that there's still a lot of question marks here.
This is so interesting. We just did this in the morning meeting. So we broke the story yesterday. Two weeks ago, this coming Wednesday, Timothy Busfield was at the Arclight Cinemas.
And we should pause right there to say he's an actor. You'd recognize his face if you saw him. He does mostly directing now, but he was in 30-something, West Wing. Pretty well-known actor.
Very well-known actor. So he was at the Arclight Cinemas in Studio City, or Sherman Oaks. And he is there with a date. And they're kissing in the theater. And according to the girl, Will, I'm sorry, according to the girl, I can't
Will.
I was at Will Smith's show. According to the girl, Timothy grabs her both above and below the waist.
Okay.
You know, cops a feel.
Right.
24 hours later, she goes to the police and says it's a sexual battery. And she had left the movie theater, we're told, shortly after this supposedly happened.
So this happens. She runs out mad.
So here's my question, and we don't know this yet, and we're trying to find out, but we don't know. If he hadn't done anything before other than kiss her, if she hadn't said, no, don't do that, and then he did it again, which is a whole different thing, but if he just did it, you know, in the heat of passion.
Right. Yes.
Is that like sexual battery, really?
This is why it's such an interesting story. Look, none of us can pretend to know what happened. It very well could have been an actual sexual assault, in which case she should have gone to the authorities if that were the case. But if it was just a date getting out of hand and getting
it was a date at a movie theater, and they're making out, at least according to her, that they're making out, and then he grabs her.
I don't think the police need to be involved every time a guy tries to get a little bit more. And I know this sounds like I'm walking a dangerous line to say something on the radio, because we're all sensitive to actual sexual assault.
But right.
I don't know that the police need to be involved every time I try to touch your boobs if we're out on a date and I'm just
going
for it.
Why would you be trying to touch Harvey's boobs?
No,
I don't understand that, Bean.
I mean, this may be one of those deals. I can't imagine there'll be any kind of prosecution or arrest or anything like this, because it really is a he said, she said. And I think most people on the outside of this story would look at it and go, 24 hours later, you go to the police, it seems kind of a little bit like no harm, no foul. I mean, yeah, what do you think the result is going
to
be?
It's a little bit of a cop-out, I'm sorry to say, because it gets back to the question that if two people are making out,
right,
and then the guy grabs the girl, suppose he grabs her breast.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's certainly it seems to me a little bit different than some guy just walking up to some stranger, certainly.
Oh, no question. If they're making out.
So I guess the question.
That's a tough line.
Are you supposed to ask permission each step of the way?
I would have never gotten sex if that were the case. And again, I know how this could be misconstrued, and people will try
Don't apologize. Don't apologize, because this is a legitimate thing to ask. I mean, it seems weird that somebody...
It does seem weird, yes. I mean, the police are involved because he tried to go a little bit further than she wanted to on a date where they were making out.
Well, the police are involved because she made a claim and they have to investigate it.
Right.
But I'm saying if he just did it without her having said before, don't do it.
Right.
And he did it once, and then she said, stop it, and he stopped. But they were making out in the process. I guess the question is, is it the same as certainly? Well, to me, clearly, it's not the same when you have two strangers.
Oh, agreed. Right.
But when they're making out, I guess, you know, if somebody is, you know, is the burden on? I guess. Well, I mean, look, is the burden on him to say, do I need to ask permission, or is the burden on her to say, you know, hey, slow down, buddy, whenever there's the first hint of it? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. And we're all sensitive to this topic, which is good. It's good that there's such an awareness of no means no. But again, it's not a completely black and white line, and that's why this is an interesting story.
You'll keep us posted
as to what happens on this. My guess is going to be that no charges are going to be filed, and it's just going to go away, and they probably won't go out on another date.
Well, they probably will not.
I'm guessing you're right on that.
Now, what they're saying in the office, of course, they're saying this in the office. They think the movie they saw is relevant.
Really?
What was it?
No, I don't know.
Oh, don't know what movie they saw?
I do not know what it was.
Yeah. It must have been boring, because they were otherwise...
They were making out in the theater.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, and it's expensive to go to the movies, so...
It is, yeah. Okay. TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record. And, of course, check your local listings for all the various TMZ television shows when in Hollywood. Be sure to take your friends and family on the TMZ tour as well. Harvey, thanks so much for the time today, my friend.
See you guys.
Thank you.
A swell guy, a grand talker, and an old-timer in radio.
Here's Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat.
Wow. He's a regular talker.
Bean is busting out all the wax cylinders today. Very impressive. Before I get to Showbiz news, I do want to give out some more passes to the advanced screening of High School.
Yeah!
It's happening Wednesday, May the 30th. It's in theaters everywhere, Friday the 1st. We saw the trailer for this, and it looks just so funny. Great stoner comedy about an entire high school that gets loaded on pot brownies that end up accidentally in the school's bake sale. The faculty gets stoned. Everybody gets stoned out of their minds. Looks hilarious. Adrian Brody, Michael Chiklis, almost unrecognizable in this film as the principal of high school. Matt Bush also stars, Sean Marquette, and Colin Hanks. Looks very funny in the movie as well. If you'd like to see an advanced screening of High School, All you have to do is call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First two callers to get through will get a pair of passes to attend the screening. And the movie, as I mentioned, is in theaters everywhere Friday, June 1st.
Do you think our listeners would enjoy some type of
I do believe
comedy about pot?
They would find some relatability in a comedy that is focused on the enjoyment and or ingestion of cannabis.
Okay.
But that's just me. Real quickly, before I get to showbiz news again, congratulations to my citizen of the day, Robert Gene White in Texas. Robert Gene White passed away this week at 67 years old at a strip club. Received several lap dances, then died of heart failure without paying for any of them. Robert, you're one of the few people who actually win in this world. You got out ahead.
How about that?
Got all the lap dances and then just checked out before they asked for the bill. He didn't have to pay for any of them.
That's how you want to go. Right?
Such a sweet win. It's a big bucket of win right there. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. The Avengers made $55 million in its third weekend. That's nuts. It's nuts for an opening.
That is crazy.
Battleship, number two at the box office, made $25.3 million. Not what they were hoping and or expecting. Who'd have thought that a movie based on a board game did not turn out well? Seems like a perfect idea to base an entire feature film on a game that involved putting pegs in little plastic battleships. Should have been a smash hit with that sort of storyline behind it.
Yeah.
Kevin, how was Rihanna in her acting debut?
She was fine.
My father always told me, look out for the aliens.
She was fine.
Bow, bow, bow.
I mean, it was all about the special effects. It was not. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't about her monologue about Daddy telling her the aliens are coming?
No, that was unfortunate that they put that in the trailer because it was a very, very tiny part of the movie that really didn't stand out. But you were waiting for it when you went there. You're like, oh, no, don't do the thing about your dad.
Kevin defends Battleship.
It was pretty good.
No, it wasn't. Telling you that right now. What it wasn't was pretty good.
I saw it.
I know. I didn't see it, and I can still tell you it wasn't pretty good.
Huh. All right. Yeah.
The Dictator was third at the box office, made $17 million. You saw that too, right, Kevin?
I did.
Do you ever see your family on weekends, or do you only go to theaters? You just only King's Games and movie theaters?
No, he goes to King's Games too, yeah. How dare you.
What did you think of The Dictator?
I thought it was good.
Why do I bother to ask?
America disagreed.
Dark Shadows was fourth. What to Expect When You're Expecting was fifth. Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. Now, you saw that as well, Kevin.
Did
what did you think of that?
I did not see that. That is
not
a movie.
Oh, you didn't see a movie that some critics are saying one of the best films of the year?
No, I did not.
With a high-octane British cast, like Tom Wilkinson and Judy Dench.
Bill Nighy, Maggie Smith. Don't they all go salmon fishing in Yemen in that movie?
I think they do. Hunger Games, Think Like a Man, Lucky One, and Pirates, Band of Misfits, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Robin Gibb of the legendary Bee Gees has passed away at the age of 62 years old.
Touchy.
It is touching. He knows how to send them off.
He does.
I'll tell you, the Bee Gees have not had a good run when it comes to health. They've all died young, except for Barry. And Barry's got giant teeth and unruly long hair. So even
he looks like a Wookiee.
Even he did not get out unscathed. But
it was sad, though, to see him at 62, right on the heels of Donna Summer at 63. I mean, these are young people to be losing.
Music kills, man. I've always said that.
I guess.
Music kills, not one time. That's why Van Halen has gotten out of the business. That's why they're no longer touring. No, actually, they've come forward and said, hey, don't panic, everyone. The tour's going on. We're not arguing. We're not fighting. We're just, the schedule was a little too ambitious. We're retooling our schedule. We will be back out and performing in a town near you. So, no one panic.
See him soon if you want to see him.
I'm not, no.
Just saying that.
No. Diamond Dave said, everything's okay. Today's celebrity birthdays. Gautier. We should start playing his song. That's pretty good. That Somebody I Used to Know.
I'm not familiar
with
that.
We should start putting that in the rotation because I think people would like it.
We'll work it up.
He is 32 years old today. Michael Jolette of Airborne Toxic Event is 38 years old today. Fairuza Balk celebrates her 38th birthday. Judge Reinhold, talented actor, turns 55. Mr. T,
a bit of the fool. Don't wish me happy birthday.
He's 60 years old today. And Lisa Edelstein, she was on a little television program that I used to like to call House.
Whatever happened to that show, Ralph?
I believe they ended. Hmm. They ended House.
When did they end?
Tonight. Tonight, a special two-hour farewell to House MD. One of my favorite TV shows ever. One of the few TV shows that I have seen every single episode of that was ever produced.
Wow.
Can't claim that about a lot of shows. Lisa Edelstein played Cuddy on that show for many seasons. She is 46 years old today. I think we've got the creator of House coming up next, don't we?
We do.
David Shore.
That's correct.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Tonight on the Fox Network, we say goodbye to a little show called House. The creator of that program, David Shore, joins us in studio right now. David, how are you? Shouldn't you have someplace better to be today on the last day your show airs than the Kevin and Bean show?
No.
Sadly,
yesterday
sadly
I did.
No.
Today, no more. And tomorrow, not even less.
Even less. Yeah. You're not even setting the alarm clock tomorrow. Let's face it. I've always wanted to ask you this question because I always was fascinated with the theme song, with the Massive Attack theme song. And by the way, are they calling you every week begging for you to keep the show on the air so they can continue to get the royalty checks from their song? But how was that song selected as the theme song from House all those years ago?
That was Brian Singer. Brian Singer just pulled out a CD and put that on, and everyone went, okay, that sounds good. It was that complicated.
Really? Simple as
that.
Boy, it's not like there were
great stories I'm weaving for you guys.
Really behind-the-scenes stuff, David.
So it was the first choice for the song, and everybody said, yep, that's it. Let's go with it, and it's worked ever since. That's awesome.
You know, it was a long time ago, but it might have been the second choice. There was something else he brought in, and boy, this is going to be an even better story because I don't remember what it was.
All right.
A lot of people forget Brian Singer was helpful in getting House on the air and putting that together. What was his role, actually, when you created the show? How did Brian get involved?
That was actually, I mean, it was great for me and my ego because he, we obviously sent it into Universal, which was our studio, later to become NBC Universal and Fox, and they were both excited about it and wanted the show to happen, and so now we need to find a cast and find a director, and the president of NBC, of Universal at the time, says, I've got the perfect director for you. We're in litigation with him right now.
What?
But he's perfect. I think it'd be great.
The guy we're suing would be great for
you. Yeah, exactly.
That's bizarre.
And so they sent it to Brian, and we heard – and Brian right away – Brian tells the story that he got to like page 8. Dr. House calls somebody a moron, puts the script down, and calls his agent and says, I have to do this.
Was he instrumental in creating that whole thing where you guys go inside the body and show what's happening and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, that was all him. He actually came in. He's a bit of a hypochondriac, and he came in with his own video of his own – some medical procedure he had done on himself.
On himself?
That he insisted on the director. I was about to call it – on the doctor. They're called doctors, not directors.
Right. The guys in the coats, right.
Yes, those guys. He insisted on them filming the procedure, including they had a mini camera that they were using for their process, but he insisted on them recording it so he could have his own DVD copy of the inside
that's
of his
That's a little
throat.
Nutty.
Oh, that's crazy.
That's sort of
now,
crazy. It's hard to remember before House because 8 years is a long time, but I mean, was there any kind of pushback from people in television who said, we don't really need to put another medical show on the air. There's been a million doctor shows. Shows like ER have pretty much done it as good as it can be done. We're not interested. I mean, did you have trouble placing this show at all?
That's not the way TV works.
Okay.
TV works with, hey, we've done tons of medical shows. We should do another one.
They were successful. Give us more of the same, please. They probably thought it was too different, probably, than too much alike something else.
That's right. That's
because
right.
House is a guy who's not lovable and isn't taking care of his patients, isn't holding their hands the way
How many conversations did you have at the beginning with what Ralph's talking about, which is this is not a likable character immediately?
I'm glad we wound up on Fox because I think it would have been a nightmare on any other network. I think, I think Fox just was willing to do it right from the beginning, which shocked me. It was the note I expected from day one, and it is very possible that in my mind I went a little farther with the character to give myself room to compromise.
To pull back when they said no.
And then they didn't say no, so I was stuck with this guy who was way out there.
That's wild.
Do you think it's possible that anyone, including Wilson, who's got a heart of gold, his best friend on the show, would ever put up with the BS that House puts the people around him through? In real life, would anyone ever accept that dude?
I got to figure there's something wrong with Wilson. But basically, in real life, you'd only put up with this if your life was on the line. This is not the doctor you want for if you're in the clinic. You
but
know.
Even his coworkers, I think the reason they do put up with him is because he's remarkable and he's a special person. And I think, maybe not to this extent, but in life, people who are especially talented, whether it be, you know, entertainment or sports or something else, they get a lot of slack and a lot of leeway from the people around them because they have a gift. And I think that is the reason the show is believable, is because you say, yeah, I can see why people have to put up with this guy because he is sort of remarkable.
That's a good answer.
You like that one?
I love that answer.
And you got lucky, too, because that Laurie kid from England that you work with, he's got a quality about him, a charisma that I think makes it all work, right?
He's done a fine job.
Yeah, he does okay.
I mean, we auditioned. That was the biggest problem. I handed in the script. The studio loved it. The network loved it. We got a director right away. We found actors for the other parts relatively quickly. It was challenging, but the house auditioning process was a nightmare.
That took a long time, really?
It took a long time. Nobody got it at all, to the point where, in hindsight, it's like nobody got it. And at the time, it was like, oh God, this character just can't be done. This character just
did. You see Chris Kattan? Did you even try him out?
Rob Schneider? No, none of our great actors.
I mean, Gary Coleman was.
I know
alive,
it's shocking that they weren't able to do it. But
did you make it his own? I mean, did you go, that's the guy?
He came in. Well, he didn't even come in at the beginning. He was shooting a movie in Africa. He put himself on tape in the bathroom of his hotel room over there, sent us a tape or a DVD.
Oh, showbiz, huh?
Yeah.
So glamorous.
He was on the toilet filming himself.
And he put it on, and he sent it in, and it was like a light went on. That was the character.
That was it.
It was one of those moments.
Did he ever have trouble keeping his American accent up? Because it's unbelievable. All the different situations you put him in, he never cracks. At least those of us, the home viewer. I'm sure there must have been takes where he did, though.
I agree with you. That was his – in his mind, that was the biggest nightmare of doing the part, of many nightmares, I'm sure. But that was the biggest one. He'd come down the set and he'd seem to be upset about something as he was doing the scene, and you'd go, what's wrong? Do you not like this dialogue? Do you not like this scene? Do you not think this is right? Do you not think this is true to the character? And he's going, no, the way I say coronary sounds stupid.
I think he said in an interview that trying to act while doing an accent is like trying to play the violin with a fish.
Yes,
using a fish as a bow, I think. That's how difficult it is to try to get to do both at the same time.
Well, I just know when we had him on last year, Ralph, around the time of It's Bobby. And
we got to talk to
Mr. Schubert about the It's Bobby spinoff here in a minute. But yes. When we had Hugh Laurie on last year, it just threw us all on our heels because why is House talking in a British accent? It almost seemed fake because we're so used to thinking of him as an American. Now
he's probably gonna be happy just to be able to talk again, right?
Yeah, I think so. On weekends he would talk, and at the end of the day he would talk, but all day long he was in the American accent. I mean, it wasn't just
when you weren't shooting.
Yeah, during lunch, if he had a scene it later in the day, he kept that American accent going.
That's possible. Do you feel – wow, we have so many more questions than I can see.
We need to take a break.
Take a break
and we'll come back.
Come on.
Take a break.
Questions. I want to talk to the dude about the thing.
We're going to, Bean.
We're going to, but we don't – less from you. We know how that ends. Seriously.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. We know.
Seriously. We've all heard it before. Yeah. David Shore, with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is the creator of a little show called House.
House MD, by the way. No one ever uses the MD anymore.
No, drop the MD. That was a big fight.
Was it?
That was a big annoyance to me. I just wanted to call it House.
Oh, interesting.
But they called it House MD.
They called it House MD.
It's still House MD, isn't it?
It's still, I guess, legally House MD or some of that, but I just wanted to...
Aren't you the creator of the show?
Yeah.
Well, can't you name it what you want?
Did they think House people think it was some sort of do-it-yourself project show?
That was the concern. So they stuck the little MD. And the compromise we got was House is in big letters and MD's in little tiny letters.
See, behind-the-scenes stories you don't get anywhere else.
And today's House Day, right? Isn't it House Day?
And actually, thank you very much. Yes, it is. I guess everybody knows that.
Obviously. Everyone's seen the parade going down Wilshire.
The city of Los Angeles has declared this House Day in the city of L.A. And I would
MD Day.
I was just going to add that. I was so relieved on the proclamation. It said House Day. It did not. I actually thought this. It did not say House MD
You won
Day.
On the last day.
Exactly.
Some Fox lawyer is going to go in with like a magic marker and just write MD on that proclamation.
The series finale is tonight. I guess there's a retrospective hour at 8 and then the final hour at 9. How many episodes of House have there been, David?
There have been 177.
Wow. And ever one time could it have been lupus? I mean, just what could they have said? Is it lupus?
Yes. It was lupus.
I think it was once. Yeah.
Really? Because it seems like lupus is always one of the first things they get rid of because it doesn't fit one of the symptoms. But they do bring it up in every single episode that it might be.
Lupus, I'm sorry to all people who suffer from lupus, but lupus was a wonderful disease for us.
Sort of a catch-all, wasn't
it? It just kind of fit. Because it's a nasty disease that can manifest in a million different ways. So it could be the wrong answer over and over again for us.
It became sort of a running joke because I remember that one episode where someone suggested lupus and everyone turned and said, no, not lupus.
Speaking of running jokes, and I never thought that I'd have the opportunity to ask you this question, David Shore. And maybe, I don't know if you wrote this episode or not. They made a nod in one of the episodes to how much Omar Epps looks like the coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, which I thought was one of the most hilarious things because they are identical twins, but they usually don't break that wall on television and do something like that. Tell me about that.
Well, it's not really breaking the wall in a sense. My view is the show exists in the real world. It's the exact same world in every way except House isn't on the air in that world. But we noticed that. I think a lot of people noticed that. And one of the writers went up to Omar and said, you know, the new coach of Pittsburgh Steelers looks exactly like you. And Omar's reaction, as I recall, was more like, oh, God, another white guy who just thinks we all look alike. and then came in like the next day and went, oh, God, you're right.
And just like him.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I remember the first season thinking that this is such a well-written show. And you went through, I don't know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 diseases in the first episode. I was like, they're burning through everything. They got to pace themselves a little bit. And somehow you kept it up. It's a well-written show.
It
had to be difficult.
It was difficult, but I never expected it to last this long. So I never felt the need to pace myself because I figured, man.
We'll get a year out of it.
Yeah,
if
we're lucky, yeah.
Wow. What do you have a team of doctors always looking for bizarre new diseases you could use on the show?
We do. We have researchers. All the writers are, you know, reading stuff and trying to read the New England Journal of Medicine and all that. But we have researchers as well, and we have three outside doctors who are consultants on the show who are available to the writers for phone calls and review every outline and review every script and give us notes on all of them.
You keep saying we have, but in reality you had.
Until 9 o'clock tonight. Yes, you're right. You're right. I got to get used to that.
The only reason I bring that up is that what's your life going to be like? I mean, this was such a big chunk of your life and obviously such a big important part of your life. What is it going to be like tonight after that last episode when it's all over?
I'll stop getting phone calls from radio programs asking to be on.
Yeah, we won't want to talk to you anymore.
Everybody will forget me.
But maybe you'll work on It's Bobby. Maybe you'll start.
It's Bobby!
You'll probably develop the spinoff for my character, the Bobby spinoff, right? It's Bobby.
I haven't
heard anything about that yet, Dave.
I'm stumbling now. Well, I've lost the ability to speak.
Fox is demanding it's Bobby, and you seem to be dragging your feet a little bit in the development.
It's Bobby!
Well, in the DVR world, Ralph, didn't your 2 minutes on House, that one episode, didn't it just go through the roof? Like, people were crazy for you, right?
In the new Nielsen rating system, yes, it turns out that one section of Drunk Bobby was the best received character with less than 2 scenes ever in the history of the
program. Is it true that Ralph showed up and your people said, all right, you can go on there with your hair and your jacket? Is that true?
That's not true, actually. They brought out clothes that look identical to the clothes that I wear in real life, though, however, for the character of drunk Irish East Coast Bobby. And I was like, I don't know quite how to take this.
Bad influence, drunk Bobby.
Bobby!
Let's talk a little bit about tonight, about the final hour, without obviously giving too much away. I'm sure that everybody, not only the people who work on the show, but the fans, have an opinion of how they'd like to see the thing end. And most shows, they kind of go out on an up note. Somehow that doesn't seem like House's way to me, that everybody's going to be happy.
We've never been big on the happy endings.
No.
It's not something
I'm still mourning Amber. I'm still mourning her loss.
Thank you. Well, she might be back.
But is there a lot of pressure being at the final episode that you have to kind of put some coda on the whole thing? It must be an enormous amount of pressure of how you're going to have your send-off, right?
It's huge pressure, and I resent the hell out of that.
I'm sure you do.
So stop it, people. It is, and then you start looking at all these other – well, you start – looking at all these other endings of other series.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And
how to do.
And there are three good ones or something like that. And you go, holy
Yeah. House going to leave in a helicopter, and Wilson's going to spell out goodbye in rocks underneath him. Is that what you're going to do?
Why are you telling me this now?
Damn it! What did I think of
and
that?
And one of those rocks is a grenade. Come on!
Oh, these are all good.
How much did you hear from, or were you in touch with the fans? I mean, were you a guy, David, who was on the internet seeing what people said, like, you know, during the House Cuddy romance and everything? Did you follow what their interest was?
No.
No. No. Okay.
I had no problems.
I desperately tried not to because. Well, I actually, about a couple weeks before we started filming the last episode, I was directing the last episode, and I thought, I should put my voice on Twitter. And so I did it, and a week later I quit. Because
really? 80%
of the people are very nice, and I'm sure the other 20% are very nice, too. They're nice people.
Right.
But they were very mean to me.
Really? Really? How could they be mean to you if you created the show that they care enough about to follow you on Twitter?
That's what I don't quite understand. They're very, very angry with me. It's a little like, I don't know what it's like. It's like I gave them something that they obviously love, and then I changed it in a way at some point in their minds that they hate.
You ruined something
and I
about
ruined it. And apparently they keep watching it, I guess. So that's
just to
good.
Be angry about
just
it.
But I'm just they're sick and tired of my stupidity and my arrogance and my hookers. Apparently, I mean,
that was an 8-year-old boy that wrote all that. You know that?
Well, because 8-year-old boys love hookers. That's how you know it wasn't an 8-year-old boy.
What about House's wife? By the way, that was a good deal, right?
You should have kept her around.
I agree. Yeah.
She may be back.
Yeah, we were just saying
it's
that
gonna
about
be a chock full they hour, isn't back. It? At the end,
she's gonna now, be in It's Bobby.
That's the best news I've heard all day.
Bobby! Yeah, best news I've heard all day. That's for sure.
Was Bobby just got confirmed? Is what I just heard.
Yes.
Was it hard for you when you would lose some of your major team players, like, you know, Jennifer Morrison and people like that, or was it creatively? Was it, oh great, this gives us an opportunity to really shake things up and go in a different direction?
It was both. I mean, you know, you grow attached to people and you learn how to make it work, hopefully, a little bit. But yeah, you want to keep the show fresh. You want to keep challenging yourself. And you also want to keep challenging House. That was where the show was at its most interesting, was presenting House with new situations and new people and different people. So, you know, putting new people in the team, new people in the room, and obviously the patients every week. But that was kind of what I think kept the show alive and kept it fresh.
Going back to the beginning, David, was it as simple for you as you – did you have an aha moment? Did you have a House moment? Did a light bulb go off and you said Sherlock Holmes as a doctor? Was it that simple?
That was part of the process. No, there was no light bulb moment. We sold it to Fox and they were very excited about it, and I wasn't. I was very – because the character didn't exist really at that point. Uh-huh. It was just sold as a medical mystery, and I'm going – this show isn't going to last, you know, just people, always going to die, always going to die. Oh, he didn't die.
Every episode.
Yeah. Which obviously is at the core of the show.
Yeah, sure. Right. A very medical show.
But it's, I spent months and months trying to figure out how to make it more than that. The problem was germs don't have motives. Germs don't, one germ doesn't
right.
kill somebody. He doesn't, you know.
Not a revenge killing.
There's no
like
revenge
that.
Killing the germs. They don't hide a knife behind the gallbladder. You know, and you have to figure out which germ had that knife.
And they're not racist or broke or any
right,
other
exactly.
motives, right?
But that's exactly it. People talk about whodunits, but really we watch shows because they're whydunits, and that's what's interesting. And you don't really have that in a medical situation. So it had to be, you know, almost every one of our cases ultimately was solved by some secret the patient had, whether they're hiding it from themselves or something they were lying to themselves about or lying to others about. And so it became about human beings and what makes them do the things they do, and then we talk
and
about
what liars they are.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes.
But
yes.
The
people are liars.
But the House Wilson Holmes Watson dynamic, those guys.
That was a big part.
You recognized you needed a Watson character. You needed Wilson in order to have him first have someone to explain stuff to, right, and talk about stuff, but then also to sort of humanize him, to give him someone. If someone loves him, then we have permission to love him as well, right?
Once again, a much better answer than I have. Thank you.
I'm going to start notes. Traveling around with you.
Now, David, in our remaining moments here, and it's gone by so quickly, the first episode was called Everybody Lies?
Yes.
And is tonight's episode called Everybody Dies?
Tonight's is Everybody Dies. The original one was called the Untitled
Shore Atanasio pilot, which I kind of like, like that one. Paul Atanasio is another producer on it. And I like that. And then they say, go, well, actually, that's what the series was called initially. And then they're going, what are you going to call the series? What are you going to call the series? And they've given you a huge disincentive to actually name the series.
Right. Because taking your own name off of
yes,
it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
That's difficult.
Call it Shore MD. You could have called it that. But no. You got to go with House. Everybody Lies. That's sort of been the mission statement of House throughout the entire run of that show. So that's his core belief is that everyone lies.
And it was in that first script, but I didn't recognize how important it was until we were shooting it. And then suddenly one day while we were shooting that pilot, I went, oh, that is kind of what the show is.
Don't like Everybody Dies. I don't like the sound of where that may leave us tonight at the end of the show.
You love that of all people.
Everyone's going to be in a church, and then we found out everybody was on a plane, and the next thing you dream, Matthew Fox shows up, and then bad things happen.
Again, where were you guys 3 months ago?
You could have used our advice.
8 o'clock is where the action begins on Fox tonight with the retrospective hour, and then the last new episode of House. Although, it'll be in reruns for as long as we're all alive, right, David? It's not going
anywhere.
So you're
telling people they don't have to bother watching tonight?
Well, no, I'm not saying that.
I'm not saying that out loud, but I'm saying
it's insinuated. You are going to be able to still see House. It's just tonight's the last new episode, and we can't thank you enough for all of the many, many hours of wonderful entertainment you guys have given us over there on Fox. It has been one of the best shows ever, David. Congratulations, and thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you very much.
And we're looking forward to it.
It's Bobby!
Yeah, this is bullshit.
K-Rock.
He's right. That guy's right, by the way.
He is.
This is BS. Oh, I'm sorry.
Hello?
Hello?
Why don't you want anyone else on the air today,
Kevin? Using a different microphone because yours broke. I didn't get any sleep last night.
Really can't tell.
Sharp as a tack.
Ralph is here for our final look at the showbiz beat. And by the way, how fun was that?
I miss Mr. Shore. I miss
he
him
was
already.
Great. Such so I would nice love guy. To talk to him all day.
Such a nice guy. And everyone over there, you know, we kid about it. And I did do that episode. But I met a lot of the staff and crew over there at House. And a lot of them do listen to the show. And what a great crew of people. What a great, great group of people from everybody who works on the show to the writers to David and the actors. It was just a very classy operation over there. So,
well, what they're doing is so much more important than what we're doing.
And better. And so
and
much
way
better.
Better.
Congratulations to everybody on an amazing run and the well-earned success. And I'm sure they'll be celebrating tonight as they watch the final episode. So great, great stuff. It was nice to be part of something like that over there, even just a little bit. So congratulations.
I was part of it by watching.
You were part of it by watching. That was a very important part. Maybe even more important than my part. Because without the viewers, they wouldn't have kept it on.
It's Bobby!
But I hope It's Bobby will have the same sort of passionate fan following as House did. I hope they will learn to love Bobby the way they loved Gregory House.
I don't know that Bobby's as likable.
Bobby is more likable. He is an irascible drunk who also solves crime.
Oh, I didn't realize
yes.
that.
Yes, he's got a lot
it's
going
Bobby
on.
It's Bobby P.I.?
It's Bobby P.I. is what it's going to be. All right, let's talk about showbiz news. Because it's Monday, we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Surprise, surprise, The Avengers doing pretty well for itself in its third weekend in a row. $55 million made it number one at the box office. Battleship didn't do as well as they expected. $25 million. Made it number two at the box office. Not a huge opening for a movie.
Would have been much bigger, don't you think, if the Avengers didn't
exist?
Yeah.
Yes.
Sure. Same world.
I think and if no other movies existed,
I'm
too, Kevin, not
moved,
just the Avengers.
It have moved away from the Avengers a little further.
Well, look.
Just saying.
You never knew.
All right.
I mean, Battleship opened up on a Friday with $9 million in box office. That's when they started to sweat. They said, no, we're in
trouble. By the way, on paper, when they scheduled this 8 months ago or something, they probably thought, the Avengers will have been out 3 weeks by then.
Yeah,
that'll
exactly.
be fine.
Everyone will have seen it's going to see it. It'll have petered out, and now we'll take over the number one position. They didn't understand that Avengers was going to be a juggernaut. The Dictator was number three at the box office. Oh, by the way, I know Battleship opened on Friday. On Saturday night, Sci-Fi debuted American Warship.
Really?
Yeah.
What's that?
No coincidence there. Just Battleship happened to open on Friday. American Warship, the TV movie with aliens fighting battleships, was on Sci-Fi Saturday night. Yes.
Really?
I'm saying. You'd be hard-pressed to pick out which one was better. Yeah. One had Carl Weathers in it. That's all I know. Gives it a little bit of an edge,
that one
in my
won.
Opinion. The Dictator was third. Dark Shadows, What to Expect When You're Expecting, were the top five. Best Exotic Marigold Hotel was the sixth. Hunger Games, Think Like a Man, The Lucky One, and Pirates, Band of Misfits was number 10 at the box office this weekend. Robin Gibb of the legendary Bee Gees passed away yesterday at the age of 62.
He's dead? I didn't even know he was sick.
Yeah, he was sick. He was battling cancer, actually. Funny boy. And now he has passed away.
I'm surprised because Bean, I know, is a Bee Gees fan, and yeah, he is being heartless about
Robin.
Oh,
he can be heartless about it.
That's true. He about things he likes.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, Donna Summer hit me harder because I had no idea she was so sick. Robin Gibb, I mean, the guy was in a medically induced coma a few months ago, so we knew he was in bad, bad shape. We were expecting this one.
So you were able to, you were able to steal yourself?
Who's we? Bee Gees fans.
Oh, you and the brothers Gibb. How about China? China's in a bad way. I'm not talking about the nation. I'm talking about the former wrestler, now current adult film actress. She's down there at a porn convention in Miami, over the past weekend, and she passed out 3 times in as many days.
Wow.
Passed out once on the floor of the convention. Paramedics had to be called in. Then she went to a hotel party where she got into trouble because her and her girl she was with stripped naked and started swimming in the pool. And it wasn't that kind of party. And then she passed out in the pool.
Wow.
Which is dangerous.
That's a lot of passing out.
And then the next day, she passed out again and was rushed to the hospital.
You especially, Kevin, have to be impressed with that kind of dedication to passing out.
That is sweet.
She's starting to threaten your record, Kevin, of how many days you could pass out due to too many drinks and drugs in a row.
How
I think Kevin had 7 days in a row. That's the record, and China is now closing in. So that's bad news. And bad news for John Travolta. Yet more people coming out of the woodwork saying he touched me inappropriately. 2 more men. Have joined the 5 previous accusers of sexual assault claims against John Travolta. One from Miami at the Eden Rock Resort. A guy named Jeff said that he was a masseur there and that he also was inappropriately touched and propositioned by Travolta. And then an employee at the Westin Hotel in Seattle. He apparently was just on staff there, was cleaning up a guest room when Travolta cornered him, grabbed his butt. When this gentleman turned around, he told the Daily News Travolta's pants were unzipped and he was exposed. It was greased lightning. Speaking of grease, did you hear Jeff Conaway claimed, according to his fiance, of course Jeff is gone, but his fiance said that he told her that during the 90s, Travolta molested him while he was asleep. He woke up to find John Travolta. It was getting a quickie from Kinnicky.
It was a surprise.
It was a surprise, and that cost them their friendship as well.
What's Travolta's answer to all these charges going to be, Ralph?
His lawyer has just continued to insist that all of these are manufactured and just people looking for publicity.
It could be.
It could very well be. That's the damned thing about being a celebrity, is it absolutely could be. And because sometimes people will jump on a bandwagon if they see an opportunity for themselves.
Checks are getting written.
Well, not yet. They're not. I mean, this is all a lawsuit still that has yet to be settled. And apparently they tried to contact his lawyer and settle something before they brought the lawsuits. I think they're looking for a payoff, sort of like some hush money that they didn't give them. So no money has changed hands yet. But sometimes people will jump on the bandwagon. It looks like it's an opportunity for an interview with Star or Us Weekly. Maybe they can sell their story, something like that. So you don't know whether any of this is true or not. However, that being said, on the other side, it does seem like a lot of talk and a lot of accusations and a lot of smoke. So we don't know if there's any fire yet. But
and it does kind of make it difficult if he wants to go out and promote another movie. I mean, how does a guy like this
forget
do
that?
Press?
How does he get another massage? Talk about
that's
difficult.
An even better question.
What if he wants a massage? How does he go into a spa now and say, "Can I please get a rub down?"
Just turn around and walk right back out.
I'm telling you, he's going to have a hard time finding somebody.
He's so rich, by the way. Why didn't he just hire himself a hot 25-year-old guy to travel with him all the time to take care of his massage needs?
I think maybe his wife may have frowned on that if that was the case.
Who knows?
Who knows indeed? The world may never know. It's like, how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop?
Is it exactly like that?
Exactly like
that. All right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Gautier is 32 years old today. Fairuza Balk from The Waterboy and what was that witch movie she did? She looked great in that witch movie. The Coven? The Craft? The Craft?
The Craft.
Yeah, she was good in that. 38 years old today. Judge Reinhold is 55 years old. Mr. T turned 60 today. And while we're talking about House, Cuddy from House, Lisa Edelstein. She turns 46 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to talk to Bill Simmons from ESPN about the 30 on 30. Have you been watching those? Those are fantastic
documentaries. Yeah.
Fantastic. Beer Mug gained some more weight. We'll weigh him tomorrow.
Yeah, great.
And we will continue to give you tickets to see Rise Against and you present the show. We'll tell you about that and give you the tickets tomorrow morning on an all new Kevin and Bean.